love. Is begging door to door. But finds the silence like no one lives there anymore.
Live from the playoffs of the sports is the Side Quest episode 412. Now that's what I call a games console 37. I'm Dally Domofsky. Joining me as usual is Mike Bachman.
I am the player with the ball.
And the guy who catches stuff and runs and then catches some more, Steven Strum.
My name is Steve and we are online.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We could talk about that. Steven, I always thought of you as a catcher.
You know what? Go to hell. That's really funny that you should say that, Mike Bachman, because I always thought you should eat a dick.
I was just talking about baseball. Why all this hostility?
What's
I don't understand.
Hate, Steven? God, you know, catchers make a lot of money.
SMH, man.
Catchers, so I mean, they do have to kind of dust off and brush off every once in a while. They're always passing a lot of balls.
Are they like the garbage men of sports? Because like anytime you mention somebody being a garbage man, they're like, well, you know, they make a lot of money.
They do make a lot of money.
It could be worse. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. See, you can't mention garbage men without somebody else commenting on how they make a lot of money. It's impossible.
It's because that's how we make ourselves feel better for the fact that we have these human beings that exist purely to fucking haul away our fucking excrement every day, like our waste. We have to make ourselves feel better and about our capitalist pig society by pointing out
that than work phone support for anything.
You know what? That's actually probably a good point.
Oh.
You always hear the, well, it could be worse. You could be the guy that has to look through the garbage.
We just call those homeless people.
Is that a guy?
We call those homeless people.
Well, you know, they don't make a lot of money.
None. One man's garbage is another man's garbage.
They make zero monies. There is none.
Guys, it is July. Is it the 16th today? We're recording
it is.
The 16th.
It is
fucking hot outside.
God, it is, isn't it? Even what's in Denver, huh? Where it is, I'm surprised that enough radiation can make it through the smog layer.
Who's in Denver?
Not Denver, Detroit. Sorry.
Yeah, well, close.
No, they are in fact on opposite sides of my state. So they are, from my perspective, exact opposites. So not close at all, really.
It is. It's quarter after 10 p.m. right now, and it's 87 degrees outside.
Wow.
How about you guys? How hot is it?
It's so hot.
How hot? Yeah, actually, as you said that, I had to open up weather.com. I'm going to find out here how hot it is in West Fargo, North Dakota.
Steven, we're like thought brothers.
Are we?
We just do the same thing.
You both eat a lot of dicks.
Those would be dick brothers. It is 84 degrees Fahrenheit here. But it feels like 89.
But it feels like ass.
I walked outside and I said, bullshit, this is not 84. It feels like 89 degrees.
It is 76 degrees Fahrenheit, you suckers. Yeah, North Dakota representing the cold and the winter.
You know what's funny, Steven? If I turned around and said, guys, it's like quarter after 10, and it's 76 degrees outside, you guys would be like, shit, that's hot. But now it's nothing compared to my 87 and Mike's 84.
76 is nice.
At night?
Yeah.
What?
76.
Fuck that shit.
Well, to be fair, the humidity right now is 73%, so that's not good.
65 here.
So eat it.
Yeah, the UV index is zero here. What's it at for you guys?
I don't know.
What's a UV index?
It's nighttime, isn't it? We don't have a UV index. Do we?
No, it's 914 where I am, though. So I don't. UV index is zero or low, according to their scale. I would think that, these guys are not following the approved IGN grading scale, I don't think, because I'm pretty sure low. Zero is not low. I don't think that's the dictionary definition necessarily.
What have you guys been doing to keep cool during this massive, horrible heat wave that America's
facing? Going outside. How about
you don't go outside or you do go outside?
Don't go outside. Why would I go outside? I don't go outside when it's like nice out.
I've been punching the blower motor in my car to get my air conditioning jump started.
I thought you were going to say I've been punching the blower, and then I go to my car.
What?
America. Yeah, my air conditioning has been fucked up in my car, too. But what are you going to do?
My air conditioner is fucked up, too. It will only go – it will only run at the absolute lowest setting or the absolute highest setting. I can't get it on that low.
That is an okay problem to have. my air conditioning works, but the blower is going out.
It's at the it's the absolute middle setting.
Mike, I don't think blower is a thing.
It's a blower motor. Yeah, that's what it's called.
What? No, it's a fan, right? Just you say fan.
But it's not a fan. It's a motor. That's the part that's going out. Blower motor. I'm gonna Google it and I'm gonna get results.
That's not the point. I'm not talking about like what the technical specifications are.
No, you're telling me it's not a thing.
I don't need to pull up Form 34B. No. It's not a thing that human beings say. This is robot talk.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Vacuum motors. No, that's for vacuums. That ain't gonna help.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, it's a fan.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not. Hold on. Let's see. Hyundai blower motor at Auto Parts Warehouse. How do you change a blower motor in a Hyundai 2007 Hyundai Sonata?
Hey, Mike Bachman, I'm not denying that those are two words that can be next to each other and actually make a thing that you were talking about. What I'm pointing out is that no human being would ever call it that, like, in normal conversation.
You were replacing it and you wanted to make sure that people knew what you wanted. If I go in and I say, hey, I need a fan for my car.
No.
That could be. You told me that blower motor is not a thing. And I'm looking at a website right now that sells blower motors. So I'm just saying that I was calling it by its proper name, and you can eat a dick now.
Okay, thanks. This episode of Everybody Loves Raymond was brought to you by Proact.
By the Auto Parts Warehouse app. Auto Parts Warehouse.
I want to hear somebody get to eat the dick on Everybody Loves Raymond.
I don't want to ever hear anything from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Hey, Ray, eat a dick.
Aw, come on, Mom.
That's funny. Because you're a girl.
His parents live across the street. That's too close.
Mother's name again?
What are they supposed to be, like Jewish?
Italian?
Italian, is that it? I don't know.
I don't know what those people are.
God,
no, seriously, like, I knew they were a stereotype. Like, isn't it better that I don't know what that stereotype was? Yeah, that's their whole thing, isn't it? Like, that's the show. That is the show. Other than being like a horrible, unfunny mess of fucking like unspent humor, like, it is a show about like some stereotypical kind of parents of some sort. I don't care about the blower motor, Mike. Keep those links out of my chat.
You know what I care about? I care about games.
No, you don't. You don't play anything.
You know what? I do two-play stuff. I'm going to go over what I play right now, all right? I have played recently Theater Rhythm for the 3DS, which is sorry, I thought I heard something in my house.
Yeah, it was Cricket.
It was actually
there were more, too.
No, I've been playing Theater Rhythm for the 3DS, which is a kind of a retro Final Fantasy music rhythm game. It's kind of like a cross between Elite Beat Agents and Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, I guess. It's got all the nostalgia of Final Fantasy games, but and like a lot of the visuals, a lot of the design stuff. But it's got the up to date music, up to date styles, and that kind of stuff. And I'm really enjoying it, mostly because I've wanted a good kind of a nostalgic Final Fantasy game. And they had, I think it was the Four Warriors of Light came out a few years ago for the DS. Right, guys? Wasn't like the Four Warriors like the last real...
Deli, if you put any string of words together, there is a Final Fantasy game called that.
And I was playing Final Fantasy Tiger Jump Ninja Festival, and...
Hold on. I'm going to Google it. Yep, released in Japan.
So I was playing Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles Eat a Dick House Mouse and the sequel. I'm sorry, part two. No. And so Theater Rhythm, which is a stupid name, by the way. Theater Rhythm.
Yeah, what? But it's not Theater Rhythm, though,
is it? Gotta
it's
got to be Theater Rhythm.
It's Theater Rhythm.
It's Theater Rhythm. They actually, because they had a lot of people saying it different ways, they posted on their website the video of what how they actually pronounce the game.
Okay, but that just means
they're pronouncing it wrong.
Theater Rhythm.
Yeah.
They're either pronouncing it wrong or they spelled it wrong. Like, you guys, it's 2012. We know how to translate words to English. I suppose.
How about this,
guys? I suppose
it's
a portmanteau.
How about this? Hey, guys, it's 2012. Let's stop making shitty names for video games.
Yeah, from the company that brought you Dissidia, Dukakum 012.
Dukakum.
Oh, that's a Podcast Beyond thing. I'm sorry, I stole that. I can't take credit for that.
I wanna save all of the times where Steven says, "Guys, it's 2012," and I wanna play him back in like 20 years.
but yeah, Mike Bachman's grandchildren are listening to the podcast, like, "F off, Steve," and just running away on their
hoverboard. It reminds me of this like Raisin Bran commercial from like a long time ago. There's this big black woman on there, and she goes, "It's a 90s kind of thing."
No. Oh, shit, man. They're gonna be playing episodes of this podcast in like in 2015 when we all have shoes that automatically fit themselves to our feet and we can run on hoverboards as long as we've got power.
Size adjusting.
You know, in 3 years, my comments about 2012 are going to be a religion, because people will think that the world did in fact end in 2012, regardless of the fact that they are still alive and walking around, and they will know that I am the prophet.
People are going to say, "I never knew that the Ouya was going to take over until I heard Steven talk about it."
Man, I didn't think the Ouya was going to take over, but then again, when the Phantom actually got released, I was really surprised too.
How did Steven Strom predict that the Phantom was going to be the name for the next Xbox?
Hey, guys, when does the Dolphin come out?
Project Reality. So, Theater Rhythm. It divides the game up into like a mini RPG. It's super light RPG stylings, I guess. You can actually level up your characters if you you gather experience points after each song that plays. So you... there's a bunch of different modes. The main mode that you'll play initially is the series mode. So you play through like little mini versions of each of the games. they always start off with like they call it the field music sequence or FMS. And then,
do they actually say FMS in the game?
Yeah, it says FMS in the game. And then there's like EMS, which is, I don't know, energy music team. I don't know, whatever. And then they have BMS, which is the battle music.
BMs?
BMs.
BMs are a currency in the game.
BMs are currency. Which
characters
is
can
the
fling them
like
back
battle.
And forth
yeah.
between one each other.
So the field music, and each of them are played in different ways. The field music sequence, you have like a character running across a field, and you run into chocobos, you run into other characters and stuff.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Run into what?
Yes.
Fuck you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You run into choco puffs?
You run into chocolate bows? Chocolate bow flexes.
Choco crispies.
And fuck you. Chocobos, all right? I'm going to call them chocobos because it's a CH. This is goddamn America.
But you didn't say chocobo.
No,
you said chocobo.
You said chocolate bow.
Chaka J-Lo.
Chuckling a ding dong.
Chaka J-Lo pudding pop.
Oh, asshole. Kokobos.
I'm cuckoo for Kokobos.
Could you imagine if they came in a box and they were like deep fried Kokobos?
Shut up, Dally. Just eat a cockabo.
Anyway, so you go through the sequence, and it's kind of like you see your typical, almost like a Guitar Hero style sequence in the top screen, and you're not meant to look at the bottom screen at all. This entire game, you're not looking at the bottom screen when you go through these action sequences. You're either tapping or you're swiping or you're sliding. And it's actually kind of interesting. It's really simple on some of the easier modes. Then you get into the harder modes, which starts to combine a lot of the tapping, swiping, and sliding all over the place. And it actually kind of, I mean, there's sequences where it forces you to stay in the rhythm, like going up and down along almost like a sine wave. You have to stay like really perfect along that sine wave, so you're sliding your pen up and down on the lower screen. And then there's sequences where you're tapping, and there's sequences where you're like flicking left, right, up, down into the corners and stuff. So it seems like it's pretty basic stuff, but on the easier levels it definitely is. But then when you up the difficulty, it actually gets really frantic and really crazy. Anyway, so you pass one of these sequences, and your battle party, which you put four people in your battle party, each of them gain experience, and you have it starts you off with like basically the main character from each of the first 13 games, I think, and then you can unlock other characters along the way as you play, and then so that's kind of the main sequence. You finish this little mini. Not really a story, but just you kind of finish all the games. And then, of course, the harder difficulty levels, you get more of the story revealed each time. As your characters level up, you can play further and further into each of these series, to these stories. So it's actually kind of interesting.
So is there some kind of overarching narrative that tries to connect all these
characters? Yeah, it's music. Music is my narrative. No, there isn't a narrative. There isn't. In fact, it's... here's the weird thing. This is really the only thing that irks me about the game, if you can call it irking me. But they have video in one portion. I think it's like the EMS portion, whatever it is. The M's. They have a video playing, which is almost like a recap of the entire game. So it starts off from like the opening title sequence. And it's a video of like key moments in each of these games. So like this will be a video and key moments of Final Fantasy IV. So you're watching... Cecil or Cecil or Cecile, however you want to fucking call him. He goes up to the mountain Cicero. Path. Yeah. Sir Cicero. He leaves his dark knight behind, becomes, whatever. You see him fight all the different fiend and stuff. So it's like a mini video. It's actually kind of nicely cut video summarizing everything, but it's all in Japanese. All the text is in Japanese, well, all the fonts. So it's essentially all they did when they localized this game was take the Japanese version and add like English text, but not change out the Japanese videos to English versions of those videos.
So they didn't go the extra mile to go find like English versions of the original games and then go motion capture all the stuff over.
No. What they could have done is they re-released Final Fantasy 1 and 2. They re-released Final Fantasy 3, 4, and 5 in the U.S. Remember, I mean, they re-released those, so they could have very easily gone back and take those, but they didn't have the English version of Final Fantasy, the original. They didn't have the English version of Final Fantasy IV or Final Fantasy VI. Everything is in Japanese.
Yeah. But I'm not trying to defend that because they could have easily gone the extra mile. But I would like to point out that it required them to go back. Like, they can't just like copy paste like the English text over that. I guess maybe they could, but it probably wouldn't look very. It wouldn't look right. To do it properly. They would probably have to go recapture all that footage from the English versions of the games again.
Yeah, which I'm sure same way. It's probably not. I mean, it's probably not very difficult because all those are keyframed and they're sequenced within the game. So if you have the data to the game, you can go back and activate certain mini sequences and just capture those on video. So it really isn't all that difficult. I'm sure they probably could have done each game in a day if they had the English versions.
That is based on your like years and years in the video game programming industry.
You know what? From keyframing, one dude on a computer with a Lipton iced tea, 100% natural lemon, in a plastic bottle, preferably teardrop shaped.
This episode brought to you by Lipton iced tea.
This episode. This wouldn't have been a difficult sequence to do, and I'm kind of astounded they didn't have it. But whatever. It is interesting to see some of the differences because you do notice some things that they don't have in the English versions and. Blah, blah, blah. But so you play through these, which is the first part of the game. Then there's other portions where you can play some light multiplayer. I haven't tried that yet because nobody locally has Theater Rhythm. But
is it only local? There's no over the wire internet stuff?
You know, I haven't checked if it's over the wire. I don't think it's over the Wi-Fi. I think it's just local for some weird reason. But they do have some actually kind of interesting StreetPass stuff. That's another interesting thing. I say interesting a lot, but it is pretty interesting, interestingly. no,
interesting that you should say that, Dali.
The implementation of StreetPass in Theater Rhythm is kind of cool, because what they do is, as you're unlocking more crap within the game, you unlock these things called Dark Crystals, or Dark Chaos, or whatever the fuck they call it. Or Dark Notes, I'm sorry, they're called Dark Notes. So they're these musical sequences which are very difficult versions of other ones, and actually new ones that aren't played within in the main quest of the game. And so you can play through this, and you can open up one if you play good enough, well enough, and you kind of continue on through there. And if you clear one, you can send it, you can set it as your street pass, and it gets sent to other people who may not have unlocked it yet, or may have, haven't.
Well, that actually seems really cool.
Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting, because if someone's not good at playing these Dark Notes but still wants to try them, then all they got to do is walk by somebody who has Theater Rhythm, and they'll get... they get the Dark Note. They'll get the person's stats, obviously, and you'll see some of the things that they've unlocked and so forth. So it's kind of cool. It's like one of those asynchronous gaming things that make the iPhone really popular. Not from like StreetPass type stuff, but from the point where you can do something and then somebody else can, like Heroes. What's it called?
Hero Academy.
Where you play a move and then somebody else can play a move. If you're like me, you won't play a move for like weeks afterwards. But it's kind of like that. There's a bunch of games that take full advantage of StreetPass. Like Mario Tennis actually did a really good job with that. But it's a neat little feature that I wish even the consoles could take note of. I'd love to see something like that on Xbox, where if you're playing a game and your friend has played has played the same game recently. You know, if you see them online, they happen to pop online while you're online, then you transmit some of your data over to them or something. It could be kind of cool. So.
I was about to say, I love it when I'm carrying my PlayStation 3 around in my rucksack and just walking past people, street passing them all over the place.
But, where do you find a stick that's sturdy enough to not break with that rucksack? Your PlayStation 3 in it.
I said rucksack, not bindle sack, you cretin.
You mean cretin.
No, I'm pretty sure it's cretin.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Blower motor.
Whatever, chocobo. Anyway, so there's just a ton of nostalgia baked into this game, and anybody that's a Final Fantasy fan will really appreciate the amount of effort that did go into capturing the music, and they've done justice to the series to make this just all about the nostalgia, because now I do want to go back and play some of these older Final Fantasy games, like Final Fantasy 1 and 4 and 6, just from what I played in this game. So,
congratulations, you have plenty of opportunities to play 4, because they've only re-released it 100,000 times.
I know. I think I've played it in every single version they re-released it at. But
they have re-released
Final
Fantasy 4 more times than they have actually made Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. If you're a Final Fantasy fan, this is easily the kind of game that you want to pick up. And I've already downloaded some of the DLC for the game. I've purchased some of the songs and stuff, which they're doing them almost like these mini seasons, where they're gonna, like, every week they're gonna send out, like, for like 6 weeks in a row they're gonna give up new or sell new songs, and they'll probably apparently take a break, and then another season will come by where they'll put more songs out there. So kind of interesting. It's the Rock Band approach to RPG music.
But so are they just is all the DLC just Final Fantasy songs, or are they
they're just Final Fantasy songs. And what's interesting is I said it again. God damn it. Take a shot every time I say interesting. I'd really like Square to do this same thing with Dragon Quest as a separate game, because I love the music from Dragon Quest. There's been some really good music there. And then from other Square Enix games, but this is definitely something that could be done for classic games, like retro. I mean, fucking Nintendo should get on this with Mario. I'd love to see, like, some of this, like, Halo, who cares? Fucking Halo, a little mini thing. I mean, I think this is perfect for that kind of stuff. They're awesome little nostalgia things, so definitely worth picking up. And I really hope that Square follows us up with a Dragon Quest version in the next couple of years, and then, you know, other companies do things that are similar to this because it's enough nostalgia that's not it's not overbearing, it's not like super in your face type of stuff, but it's subtle enough, but it just kind of captures the best of what we liked about those games without ruining those games.
Do you find that it like you kind of end up getting like kind of the same problem that like Sonic Generations has, where like once you start getting into references to the games that you didn't play, like kind of falls apart for you? Or
no, because I've played,
it's not that important.
No, I've played every single one of those. I've played all Final Fantasies from 1 to 13. All the references are there. On the contrary, actually, for some of the music that they have for like Final Fantasy 14 and Final Fantasy, surprisingly, Final Fantasy Versus 13 and 13-2, I have been interested in that music a lot more because I had never heard it before. So I would have,
right.
You know, it's kind of, I wonder where the song is from. I wonder how, what context it's in, because some of the battle sequences will actually change. The song will change throughout the sequence. So
that makes sense.
You know, I think it's cool. I there you go. That's it right there.
Saying you might want to hear that appear in a future Final Fantasy Theatrhythm rhythm game.
Theatrhythm. But no, I like it. I like it a lot. It's really addicting. It's the each series, you know, each game in the series only takes about like 7 or 8 minutes to complete. Whoops, 7 or 8 minutes to complete, and then you're on to the next one. And I do definitely like the fact that you can play through one of the games and close up the 3DS, pick it up, you know, couple hours later and continue playing without thinking, feeling like you've missed out on something. So it's good. It's awesome. It's a lot of fun. It's awesome. I'm having a blast with it. I can't wait for it to become downloadable so that I can leave it on my 3DS instead of having to take it out, which I hope that when Nintendo gets that shit going here, and I get enough space because my 3DS memory card is all filled up, that these download games, this would be an awesome game to have available on your 3DS. And by the way, this will come out for iOS. I can almost guarantee you that next year, this time, you'll probably be playing it on iOS. It just seems like the perfect type of game for the iOS. You know, trailing things with your finger and tapping on the screen and stuff. I think it's made for it. So that's it. That's that. Stop it. I'm going to fucking shove that up your ass. So that's Theatrhythm.
You can, anything Chrono Trigger, you can just pretty much play all night. That's fine.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. That'll be background music. I also played a couple more 3DS games. I played Tetris Axis, which is not a very fun game because I think Hudson had some development time in this game. It just doesn't play well. So it's Tetris, and they tried to shoehorn a bunch of modes in. I think I got this one of those Best Buy deal a day things for like $2.99 or whatever it was.
Is it better than Tetris Sphere?
I had never played Tetris Sphere, but
what?
What was the one that was for the DS?
Oh yeah, the best version of Tetris that they ever made and ever will make.
And that's so true. This doesn't even come close to comparing to that. So in fact, I've had this game sitting on my shelf for 2 months. I popped it open, played it in one day, and said, nope, not going to do it. And I put it back in the box, and I'm taking it to Best Buy
day or so. I'm watching a trailer for it. It looks pretty bad.
It's just boring. It's just really boring. It's just like, it's like they felt they needed to make a Tetris game. And why not make this downloadable? Because it would have been fine as a downloadable. No, you should no longer have to package Tetris games. I mean, do people understand that? If Tetris comes on a disc or a cartridge, you've failed.
Right.
unless it's like hidden within like Street Fighter, you have failed. Anything Tetris, fuck, any puzzle games should not be released on cartridges.
Well, not any puzzle games.
You know,
like that is an entire genre that they are still making new games.
Exactly.
For.
I'm not talking like Portal 2 style puzzle. I'm talking kind of these more 2D style puzzle games. They should be downloadable. You should not be buying Plants for Zombies on the disc or on a cartridge or anything. You know, Zuma's Revenge is down. Anyway, so that's Tetris Axis. Super Mario Land 2, brand new game, guys. I'd never played it before.
Yeah, that new jam, that new hotness.
So I got it as, I think it was last month, Nintendo does that Club Nintendo stuff where you use your coins that you accumulate over the years after you register all those games. They had Mario Land up there, Super Mario Land 2. So I never bought it, so I picked it up. And it's pretty good. It definitely doesn't hold up as well as, you know, as kind of the original Super Mario Brothers, which was Miyamoto. Mario Land 2 is not Miyamoto. None of the Game Boy Mario games are done by Miyamoto. So,
well, none of the original Game Boy games.
Yes, virtue. None of the original Game Boy games are done by Miyamoto. So you can definitely see the difference there. I mean, there's like carrots, the 1-ups, because the 1-up mushroom and the super mushroom are both mushrooms in this game. You couldn't distinguish it on the Game Boy, so there's hearts instead of 1-ups, and right. It just doesn't feel, it's Mario, but it doesn't feel quite like Mario, you know?
It sounds like it would feel like a Chinese knockoff of Mario. Like, here's this new game, Mario.
Mario. M-A-A-R.
Mega Mario word.
It's not bad.
Word.
I'm not saying it's bad. Yeah. It's still fun enough to play. I would never have bought... Looking back now, I'm glad I never bought the cartridge for this, because I would have gotten bored as fuck.
But, I've always felt like the Mario Land games were kind of the bastard children of the Mario series. Because
totally
I always just got like the short end of the stick. I mean, you look at games now, when you had a game that was on, like, say, the original Xbox and PS2, and then they made a version of it for the Game Boy Advance. Like, the gap that I always saw with Mario Land.
Assassin's Creed. They had the original Assassin's Creed game, and they made a version for Vita, for DS, and for iOS, which were shit. It's like, no, you do not need to make this crappy game, this crappy side-scrolling, handheld version of Assassin's Creed doesn't work. It was totally the bastard child. So, but it's still a decent game. It's still fun enough to play. It's not difficult. It's very easy. I mean, that's why I kind of, it's good bathroom gaming. It's Mario. By the way, I get pissed off people call him Mario.
Oh, because it's completely
not a
wrong.
Chibi D fan?
It's wrong. Well, I've heard it a lot more often. I hear it on, like, the, what's it called again? On Weekend Confirmed, when one of their guests on there regularly calls him Mario.
Yeah.
I'm like, God.
Colin Moriarty at IGN also calls it that. Yeah, let's just fucking, like, make our, like, fucking Red Scare McCarthyism hit list and, like, blacklist these people from the industry. These are the ones that call it Mario.
It's not It's not Portal. It's not Portal. It's not Gears of War.
Guillermo's of War.
And so
Guillermo
finally,
del Toro's of War.
Nobody calls it Wario.
They should. Nobody calls it Waluigi.
Wario.
To kind of
I'm sorry.
Finish talking about the
portable
games. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, and there's also the little point that we skipped over that Mario says his name all the time.
It's a me, Mario.
It's a me, Mariachi. he just became
Pavarotti.
Like,
it's salsa,
apparently.
I'm a Spanish. Yeah.
It's me, Mario Stein. Mortal Kombat for the Vita. So again,
me and you both been playing this.
I've been buying everything on deals lately because deal shopping is so easy. I'm saving money that way. So I picked up Mortal Kombat 9.
You'd be losing money not to buy all these games.
Basically. I know, right? No, they're sucking up enough of my time where it could have been a rental. Or if I'd bought a full box game, I spent $60, you know, whatever. Somehow I tell myself I'm doing justice and buying it cheap. Mortal Kombat 9 plays like Mortal Kombat. It's the best handheld fighting game ever.
Yep, thank you. In terms of gameplay.
In terms of gameplay, you know what? Yeah, in terms of gameplay, in terms of fun, I played online a bit. It was smooth. What's interesting is before Mortal Kombat 9, I would have said Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition, I think, was my top before Mortal Kombat 9.
You mean for handheld games?
Yeah, for handheld games, because that was a 3DS game, which was, again, surprisingly stunning as a fighting game. Mm-hmm. But this I think beats it out, except for the visuals. I mentioned this on Twitter the other day. They're high end PS2 visuals.
If that,
if that,
like, I don't even,
it's
think
like,
you. You know, he looked like God of War 2 or something like that. Yeah. This does not even look like God of War 2.
So I think probably what happened was, did NetherRealm program this? Was it a different?
Yeah, it was NetherRealm, and me and you talked about this on Twitter.
Yeah.
And what I had said was that my guess was that I was playing through it because you were the one who told me about the deal, and I went and bought it myself. It was on GameStop, I think, right?
Yep.
The thing I said, I don't know if you had come to this conclusion yourself independently, but the thing that I had said was that it looks like what they probably did was they took the engine that they used in Batman Arkham City Lockdown and just ported that over to the Vita instead of trying to fit the graphics from the console versions onto the game, so that they used their own portable engine that they already had running. And so they're using like an iOS engine on this thing, which is kind of where I was thinking.
I think you're probably really really close to target there. I think this probably started as an iOS game, and they said, you know what, you can get some mileage out of this. Put it on the Vita right now, because it's got all the touch mechanics of an iOS game. It just has that feel, that look of an iOS game. So I definitely think this was an iOS game, and then they converted and added a few things for the Vita, and then I think there'll be an iOS version coming out at some point this year for like $6, $7. But I definitely think this is, and that's probably, that would explain the visuals and why the visuals aren't top notch. But NetherRealms, you know, those guys, Ed Boon knows how to make fighting games. He perfects those mechanics, so that's why it's still a hell of a lot of fun. I just like
it is.
Yeah, it's like
we need to play some Mortal Kombat after this.
Totally, totally. So I mean, I think that's probably what happened with this game. I really wish the visuals weren't ass like, you know.
So did you play the console versions at all?
Oh yeah,
of Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Very different.
It looks very different, but like, is it? I mean, for me anyway, I'm playing through the story mode right now, for me, just the way it feels, like the way it controls, feels exactly the same.
Yeah,
like
it totally does.
Spot on, perfect. Like
I think what they did,
same amount of precision.
What they probably did was take like the controls from the console versions and mirrored it to the iOS game,
to the Vita game.
And take the console controls, like the PS3 controls, took the iOS game, stuck them together, and created a Vita version. I think that's probably what happened with this. And then,
That's how game development works.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm thinking, probably the reason these visuals maybe aren't as high fidelity is because they have to serve the few different versions of the iPad, right? They can't go for like the totally highest def version.
Actually, now that you say that, the more I think about it, the more I think you're probably right. Because by making this one look uglier than it probably needs to be, because I know that I've seen what the Vita can do. It can do better than what this is doing. Even if it can't, you know, debate all you want as to whether or not it can do PS3 or whatnot. Like, well, time will tell. But it can do better than what they're doing here. But when you consider, like, oh, eventually this will probably come out on the iOS, then it all makes sense because it'll be so much easier and so much cheaper to move it to iOS. Then you can sell it for $7 or whatever.
Take a look at Rayman Origins. Looks amazing on the Vita. I mean, Rayman Origins looks great on everything, but it looks amazing on the Vita. So does Wipeout. Looks really good and really smooth. And this doesn't. This is really blocky. The textures are really bad. There's a lot of, like, just the contact points are kind of weird. So hair looks horrible.
You look at, like, when you play through the fighting game, through the story mode, the first thing that always jumps out to everybody is Johnny Cage's, like, chest, because it's like in the console version it's like kind of you know, it is a modern day looking kind of dude character in a game, whereas in this version it's like his chest, like all of his chest stuff is just painted on. He's just this big kind of flat cardboard cutout of a man, but then like with like abs paint and nipples and shit painted onto his body in like gray paints. But the one that sticks out for me is Liu Kang. Like,
oh yeah,
the first time it zooms in on Liu Kang's face, I'm like, holy shit, why does Liu Kang look older than Shang Tsung? Because he does. He looks like he's got this weird old man face.
By the way, I do have to say, rest in peace, original actor for Johnny Cage.
Did he die?
Yeah, he passed away recently, didn't he?
Yep.
Fuck.
Dude, I couldn't eat for a week.
And then you found out that Johnny Cage died, and then you were back to eating.
And then I just got so hungry.
I love Johnny Cage. Come on, he's the best.
What have you been playing, Steven?
Oh, God.
Do you mean in Mortal Kombat, or do you mean what have I been playing, like, what video game? Playing?
Let's we're done with Mortal Kombat. Move on.
Move on, dog.
So you want to know what I've been playing?
Yeah. Yeah, try not to go overboard, because we're down to a three-hour show.
That's actually all I'll be hearing while you're talking.
All I hear is a monkey jumping on a trampoline now.
I want video of, like, every time Steven opens his mouth, that song comes out instead.
Yeah, I will make that. I actually want to make that.
That's going to be Steve Online, episode two.
Episode two is just, me opening up my mouth and singing, like, the Japanese anime version of Gato's theme, like, oh, Gonzalez. Okay.
Do it. Do it.
Okay. I'm going to first. I'm gonna like normal. As I normally do when I have this like huge backlog. I'm gonna name every single game that I played, but I'm only gonna talk about one this week because I think there's only one on here that really needs to be talked about and that I want to talk about really. So far, for this week, I have played Max Payne. That's the original Max Payne. VVV, Crusader Kings 2, Terraria, Lone Survivor, Botanicula. Star Wars, The Force Unleashed 2, Borderlands, Gravity Rush, Mortal Kombat Vita, Shin Megami Tensei, Persona 3 Portable, and the one game I'm going to talk about this week, The Secret World.
Good, that's the one I want to hear about.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going to talk about.
I know nothing about it. I like zero. I haven't even seen it. I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Paint me a picture.
Okay, sit down, Mike. Let me sit down in the podcasting dildo chair.
pull up a beanbag.
Pull up a beanbag and let me paint you a word picture. I'm gonna do this entire thing in slam poetry. So Secret World is a new MMO from Funcom, the developers behind Age of Conan Hyborian Adventures. I want to say that's the subtitle. And Anarchy Online, which is a game that I guess people
like. You're losing me.
The lead creative developer on the game is the guy, I forget his name off the top of my head, but it's the guy behind The Longest Journey.
Okay.
Famous PC adventure game. Well known for its like crazy dark story, I think, and like well done story. I think the guy's name is Ragnar Tornquist. It's got one of those like funky words. But he also worked on Anarchy Online. Anyway, so this is a new MMO from Funcom and EA, and it is the basic premise of the game is that what if every single like crazy like Mayan prediction and conspiracy theory and like Nostradamus type thing, all of the crazy fantasy stuff and mythology and secrets that are supposedly floating around in the world, what if those were all true? And you were a part of that world. And
so, like, Legendary.
No.
That's not like a game that people might want to play.
No. It's really not. It's not really built like that. It is a lot of like secret shadow organizations all coming back and forth between one another. I would almost liken it, sort of thematically to. The World of Darkness or something like that, but a little more tongue in cheek's maybe not the right term, but a little bit more lighthearted. So I've been playing. Let me take a step back. When you start the game, you can pick between one of three factions. You can pick between the Illuminati, who are, they're the Illuminati, but they're sort of the American cabal of these conspiracies. They're North American based, and they're all, and as such, they are all based around like the idea of like businesses and corporate power and running things from the shadows and shit like that. Because that's what America's all about. And but at the same time, they're all kind of they are probably the most tongue in cheek of all of the crew. They are how I described it. I've been describing it to people who have watched Angel, the spinoff to Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Is it's basically like playing as the Illuminati is basically like playing the fifth season of Angel as a video game. So it's a lot of like a lot of kind of tongue in cheek humor, a lot of kind of people taking like crazy shit in stride, and but still talking about like like making references to real life day to day things. So you're like your boss as when you're in the Illuminati is this like she was a valley girl. Her dad, she was like a trust fund daughter kind of girl that didn't really have any kind of thing going on in her life until like. A bunch of fraternity, like there was like a college fraternity full of necromancers that tried to sacrifice her, and she kicked their ass and like stabbed a bunch of them to death, and that's how she found out about all of this stuff happening. But she still talks like a valley girl, despite like the things that she's talking about happen to be like flaying her employees and stuff and hanging their skin on her office wall and stuff like that. But then she's like, as she's talking about that, she's like got an iPod listening to like old school 90s Bay Area hip hop. So, you know, stuff like that, you know, the normal stuff. The other faction is the Templars are kind of like all religious-y and whatnot. They're like modern day crusaders. And then there's the Dragon, or kind of a portmanteau of like Yakuza and, you know, a bunch of Confucius, like ancient, you know, Asian secret organizations and stuff like that, Yakuza and triads and stuff like that. And so you start the game and you get for the majority of the game, I feel has like incredibly great writing, just like really, really well done writing, not just for an MMO, but and not just for a video game, but I think just for fantasy fiction in general, I think is very well done. Generally, I'm not a huge fan of like fantasy fiction. I kind of get bored of like all of the bunch of fake words and concepts and stuff all made up, like being introduced constantly and stuff like that. But they don't really go for that. They kind of go for like making everything in the game is like, it's not, none of it's real, but like a lot of it's based on stuff from real life. So it's a lot of like, you know, you're running into, or based on real mythology. So you're running into these zombies called the Draug at one point, but they're like, these Draug are actually like something straight out of Norse mythology and stuff like that. And then people don't always call them the Draug. There's like these characters that call them like mutant Smurfs because they're big and blue and they have like these tumorous growths and shit. But yeah, it's for the most part, it's kind of like your standard MMO. I mean, you guys both played MMOs, I'm imagining.
Yeah, I'm watching a video of it, and it looks, you know, skill bar at the bottom, you know, kind of like it gives you the illusion of being like action oriented because you can move around, but really looks like it's kind of. I mean, is this basically the WoW style combat system that we've grown accustomed to?
Almost, like that's kind of what I thought it was going to be at first. But it kind of ends up being like a less flashy Diablo 3 because you have that skill bar with the 7 skills, but that's all you can have equipped at any one time. So in like something Guild like Wars. WoW. Yeah, like Guild Wars, but then, you know, Diablo 3 took it from Guild Wars as well. But then, you can only have the seven skills equipped at one time. You can't add any new hotbars at any point. And then there's another 7, you can have another 7 passive skills hooked at any time, which you can't see while you're actually playing the game. You have to look into your skill menu and whatnot, and those 7 passive skills apply to everything else. But beyond that, there are no classes in the game, and there's no leveling in the game either. So that kind of, and that ties into how the combat works in the game, because you can, instead of leveling and instead of having classes, you start off the game and you choose a weapon, and at any point you can switch weapons to, you know, whatever you want. If you pick up you start with a hammer or like a book of blood magic or whatever, if at any point you happen to pick up a katana or something like that, you can use that instead. But each weapon or has like a skill tree associated with it, and so while you're you don't level, but you still have like an experience bar at the bottom of the screen, but you're constantly accumulating experience at the same rate that you're always accumulating it throughout the entire game. So it's not like, you know, you need 10,000 experience to get to level 2, 30,000 experience to get to level 3, that kind of thing. It's like you need this much experience to fill up this bar every single time. And every single time you do, you gain 3 ability points and 1 skill point. And then you dump those ability points into abilities on these multiple skill trees. I know how interesting this must be talking about fucking skill trees and ability points, but it is kind of interesting when you're actually playing it, because what it basically means is that you can dump these points into any skill and any tree that you want. So you can be any kind of thing in the game that you want. It actually works a lot like the EVE Online system, whereas with EVE Online you can start training any skill that you want at any point, except instead of this one, instead of accumulating skill points by setting a timer, you are accumulating skill points by killing enemies and completing quests and that sort of thing. And then later on, it kind of opens up into these things called decks, where they're these late game kind of stuff where when you reach the really high level skill point requirement things in two different classes, you can mix those. There's like these preset sort of combinations of abilities that you can click on, and it will fill out. It will just automatically, by clicking on it, you will automatically equip all of those skills, and then depending on what deck you're using, each deck has like a different role that it's best for. So like there's Necromancer, which is blood magic and assault rifles, and that's the whole point of that one is to drain life with the assault rifle and then heal with the blood magic. And you know, so you can make your own custom sort of hybrid classes, or you can make your own custom regular classes, but you can also use these preset things that they have sitting there in case you just don't know what else to do with all of your points, which I've seen a couple of people on Twitter not knowing quite what they wanted to do because there's so much freedom in how you build out your character. But that gives you a pretty good roadmap, assuming like, hey, I want to be a tank or I want to be this. And there's not, and it's not like they don't try to break it down into like, this is the tank class, this is the you know, whatever class, this is the tank, this is the DPS, this is the healer. There are those, but they're also like, you know, like I said, the Necromancer, where it's all about draining life to heal yourself, kind of weird subclass unto itself there. Yeah, so that's kind of how that all shakes down. And then there's skill points, other than ability points, there's skill points that don't come as fast, but allow you to make like permanent increases to your character that you don't have to ever swap out. So it's like, you know, I pump this many skill points into head talismans, and now I have 80 more health, but now I can also use head talismans of a level higher than I could use before, you know. So yeah, I mean, you said you were looking at videos and stuff, but I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in this game.
It looks kind of ugly a little bit.
No, I would actually, I don't know what, I think it actually looks really good. It actually looks better than most MMOs out there.
Okay, well, that's good.
I mean, partially it's maybe because of the like the modern day setting. There's not as many fantastical vistas and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
like,
that might be part of it.
Like, I mean, like the first area you go to in the game is Maine. So like not the prettiest place in the world.
I don't know. I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of getting, I've kind of had enough of the like, the skill bar MMO, I guess. Mm. Like, I don't really know the right way to say it, but it's you know, like where combat styles are basically, you know, like World of Warcraft or like the Old Republic or, you know, Guild Wars or whatever. I'll probably still play Guild Wars 2 because I hate myself, but I don't know. It just, it bothers me. And I really kind of like, I'd like to see, more MMOs start to become like, I guess, more action oriented. Because the whole reason that that MMOs are the way that they are, like the reason World of Warcraft is the way it is because of latency, right? Like when World of Warcraft first came out, you still had a ton of people playing over dial up. You know, you couldn't have real time combat and have the experience be a good one for everybody involved. And so they, you know, they came up with this thing, you know, okay, you can't actively dodge any attacks or like do anything. It's basically all like, you know, you choose your skill and then everything is a dice roll, I guess is the best way to say it. And there's no reason to make games like that anymore, I don't think. I think we're to the point where enough people have broadband where you can leave those other people out, you know. Sorry to just dial up, but...
They kind of get around that in a couple of interesting ways. Like it is definitely more action oriented than like say World of Warcraft or something like that. And part of that has to do with the fact that you mentioned active dodging. There actually is an active dodge button in the game that you hit shift in your character, or you can double tap WASD or whatever, and your character will move out of the way of attacks and stuff like that. Because when an enemy is about to do like a certain enemies do certain attacks, or especially AOE attacks or something like that, there's like if it's a circular like AOE attack, they're like a circle will appear on the ground, and then like a second ring inside of that will start pulsating out of that out of the enemy. And then once it reaches the end of the outer ring, that means that attack is going to hit. So then you can hit the dodge button and dodge out of the way of stuff like that. And then a lot of their stuff is like based around working off of your other abilities. So I would still liken it more to something like Diablo 3 than I would to World of Warcraft, just because it becomes a lot of, you know, you say my character right now uses blood magic and like a sword, a katana, and one of my a katana attacks or my sword attacks does damage in a big wide circle around my character. But then I equip that ability to my active abilities, but then in my passive abilities, I add an ability that makes it so that any enemy that gets hit with that attack is now taking damage over time. But then I can equip like another blood magic ability to my character that makes it so that any character that I attack that takes damage over time is also more prone to getting critical hits. But then I can add another ability from like say rifles or something like that, that even if I'm not holding a rifle or something, that makes it so that whenever I make an enemy critically hit an enemy, like I heal myself by 16 health for every critical hit or something like that. So it becomes a lot of like, rather than action based or hotbar based, really, it becomes a lot more pattern based and like coming up with these sort of strategies for your character, like falling into these sort of patterns and then making sure that you're pulling off these moves within time before the effects of another move wears off. So it's like none of the abilities in the game really last for very long. So if you poison somebody, for instance, it only lasts like 8 seconds at the most rather than like a minute or something like that. Or your buffs only last like up at like 10 seconds or something like that. There's none of the wow, like I'm going to cast this spell on myself that lasts for 1 hour or something like that. It's a lot. Everything is very closely timed, so you're kind of timing your moves a little bit more closely together, and so it feels a little bit more active by virtue of the fact that everything is a little bit more down to the wire. And the fact that and you can move while as far as I can tell, any spell that you cast, you can move while doing it at the same time. You don't have to stand in one place. You can move around the battlefield, and they add some stuff to the, like, especially in the dungeons where like they do some interesting stuff with the environment. So it's like one boss, you know, like, again, back to Diablo 3, it's like taking it straight out of the butcher, basically. I'm fighting this one boss in basically a hell dimension, and periodically different parts of the level will shoot fire up from these metal grates under the ground. So you're constantly having to move from platform to platform to platform, and as the enemy boss loses health, it happens more and more rapidly. So you're jumping around from platform to platform and avoiding the lava and avoiding this fire, or you fight like Cthulhu in the first dungeon in the game, and occasionally he will like open up a dimensional rift and pull you halfway into another dimension. And when he does that, if he looks at you, your character just dies. So you have to constantly run behind these rocks that are scattered throughout the area, and so avoid his gaze for like 30 seconds or whatever. But then, like, if he figures out that you're behind a certain rock, he will come over to that rock and just fucking smash it to bits and like stare at you until you die. And you know, I mentioned Cthulhu, and that's kind of another thing about the game. It's just like, just the craziness of where they go with some of the weird stuff that they do in this game is pretty cool. And it kind of extends to the missions, which is another, probably the most interesting thing about the game that a lot of people keep talking about are these investigation missions. And I don't think it's just the investigation missions personally, but the ones that everybody talk about are the investigation missions. And those are these missions that are sort of like light ARGs, like augmented reality games, where you actually have to like use real world knowledge to solve like puzzles in the game, like almost like adventure games at certain times, or like Majestic, that those old, you know, where you have to look something up to understand how to solve a quest, or there's a lot of like almost like Deus Ex type stuff in the game where you have to like find a key code to open a door and then like literally manually type in this key code into this keypad and stuff like that, or you have to wear a disguise to infiltrate this base. They do, like, almost around every corner, there is always something different that they're trying to do. There's definitely, like, you know, kill 8 zombies and then come back to me, or bring me 10 zombie tongues or whatever. But they are actually pretty few and far between compared to, like, you know, oh, now I'm doing a mission that's like a survival horror mission in an MMO. And it's just like, I don't even know how that works, but it does. And it's so much fun. It's crazy. You know, I mean, it even has a built-in browser that goes straight to Google as its homepage every time for you to look up, like, the real-world shit. So, like, one example being, for me anyway, was one where you have to find that they, like, there's this piece of paper that you find and it mentions like this famous artist. So you Google this famous artist and look up and, you know, Google image searches paintings. And then you're in a room filled with all these paintings. And then you got to find the one that he painted and you click on that, and then there's some riddle written on the back of that that mentions like time and kings. So when it says that, you look at the clock and the clock is set to 10:20 in the afternoon or whatever. And then so you look up like passage 10:20 from the Bible in Kings, like the part of the Bible Kings, and you read that passage, and then that passage is the clue for how you progress through the rest of the through that mission. And, you know, or like the survival horror mission where it's like the reason that works is actually because it's an MMO. Like they are smart about how they do it. So it's like you they put you in this big giant empty garage or a parking garage full of enemies, but then like they turn off all the lights, so it's pitch black, and you the only way you can see is this like flare gun that you have that only work that can only has like a 30-second cooldown or whatever. So you have to fire the flare gun ahead of you and then run dash forward to try and escape these patrolling enemies that will find you and, you know, tear you apart. But since it's all dark, if you wander too far off to the, you know, off the path or whatever, and don't see these enemies in the dark, you can attract mobs that will come and just rip you to shreds if you're not careful, because of the way that MMOs work. You know, you walk too close to an enemy and he attacks you. Well, there you go. If you're in the dark, that suddenly makes that kind of a tense situation. And they're definitely not just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. They're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall, but they're doing it intelligently, I think.
That's good.
Yeah. And there's some interesting stuff with PvP, but I think I'll let you guys ask a question or two if you think that, if there's anything you want
I'll
to
ask,
know.
I'll ask one question. Since it lets you like basically kicks you out to the internet to kind of solve.
No, it doesn't
these...
though. You right, press well, B on the keyboard and it opens up a browser.
Yeah.
Inside
couldn't
the game.
You? But the browser isn't like curated, so couldn't you just go to like a FAQ or just go to like a Secret World message board and get the answer there? Like through their in-game browser,
but you could do that with any puzzle game or any adventure game. Like, you know, I play video games, I often have an iPad sitting on my lap, and I just Google that stuff. And like, you know, like you could level that same argument.
the reason I'm bringing it up is I was listening to the Giant Bombcast from last week, and I think Jeff Gerstmann had been playing Secret World, and he mentioned that. You know, he went out to the browser, the in-game browser, and did a search for something. And, like, because it takes you to Google search, like, four out of the top five searches were links that went directly to, Secret World fan sites and forums.
Yeah,
and
forums
the
and
answer.
Stuff.
So,
now, yeah. That's the kind of give and take with this is like there. So the game does have some problems, and that is kind of one of them, which is that a lot of these puzzles and stuff like that is you're kind of on the honor system that like, you know, how do you like, would you rather just know what the answer to the puzzle is and then like push forward, or would you like to have some tell you the answer? So you can like, you know, say, oh, this is a forum. Well, that's probably going to lead me to some guy who's going to tell me the answer, but. The other side of that coin is not just your honor system, but like other people's. So what I've actually kind of run into is the same thing of like people on forums saying like, you know, talking about the subjects, but they've been for the most part, and even in the in-game chat, they've been pretty good about, rather than just telling you what the answer is, kind of giving you nudging little hints. Like I was stuck on this NPC called Deadeye. Williams or something like that. He was like a zombie of a resurrected World War II sniper, and he kept kicking my ass, and I couldn't figure out why, because the quest was like a low-level quest, and I was actually over-leveled for it and stuff like that. And I'm like, why? And I literally just went into the chat and like, why is this guy beating me so badly? And then everybody's just like, just kind of look at his buffs and stuff, and then like, you know, kind of that should give you a good hint. And I'm like, okay. And I go back into the fight against him, and his buff says Deadeye is ready for a sniper shot. And I realize, oh, so he's a sniper, so if I fight him from far away if I try to shoot him from far away, he's doing more damage to me than if I stand up real close to him. So if you go in real close, he puts away his sniper rifle and then tries to fight you hand to hand rather than with his rifle. And so suddenly now he's not killing you in like three hits. He's like, now he's like a normal enemy, and so you're fighting him like that. You know, they're good about that. For the community, anyway, has been good about that, I feel, so far. But again, you're right. Like,
yeah,
all it takes is one asshole.
Well, it all takes one asshole or one question being asked enough where it just starts to, you know, the way Google works is the best answer usually just bubbles to the top. So I'm curious as to the longevity of this game in the long run, I should say, what they do to mix things up so that new people that come on board, when this becomes free to play within the next couple of months, new people that come on board and start playing, they don't have everything handed to them right away. I mean, at that point, they should just, get rid of a lot of these older or a lot of these quests and questions and stuff because the stuff is already going to be available online and easy enough to resolve.
So I think they're dealing with that in two ways, which is one that they're not just hitching their wagon straight to the investigation thing because investigations are maybe like a fifth of the quests in the game are investigation missions, if that. Because then, like I said, there are the sabotage missions, which are like kind of stealth based or like puzzle based, like within the game, where it's not just like find out this real world thing to find this answer. It's like I have to enter a haunted house, but if I try to enter the haunted house, like the ghost force presence or whatever just literally flings my character back like 20 yards or something. So I have to like wander around the house looking for an alternate entrance, or I have to find like a dead body of a guy and like wear his uniform so I can infiltrate a base of people that if I don't, they'll just zap me and like throw me out of the building or something like that. And then, like, the survival horror stuff like that. And then the other way that they're dealing with it is that they are doing monthly updates. Every month they are adding new quests and new features and new story stuff to the game. So assuming they live up to their word on that one, there will always be new content for people that haven't seen it before. And these are free updates, as far as I understand. First one is supposed to come out in July 31st, and it looks like it adds a bunch of like features and stuff like auction houses and stuff like that, but also it adds like at least like 6 new quests across the world, 6 new big major quests and stuff. And that may not sound like a lot, but each of the quests is pretty, of these main quests anyway, is pretty long, and they each have like these Grand Theft Auto 4 style cutscenes and stuff. Like they're all voice acted and narrated, and they have playing these missions actually gives me the feeling that I thought Star Wars: The Old Republic was going to give me, but actually doing it, like actually delivering on the promise of the story of like a world that you are invested in at all times and stuff like that. And I just find the whole thing super interesting. I think partially is just like it rests a lot on its world and stuff. As much as I talked up the combat and stuff, combat is good. It gets better. But, you know, the first couple hours you're playing it, it does feel like before you have all those abilities that you can mix and match and stuff, it does feel like World of Warcraft. But then once you realize, oh, I can hybridize my character and stuff like that, it becomes a lot more interesting. And like I said, there's some cool ideas with the PvP that's been – I haven't really dabbled too much in that. The crafting is kind of interesting. I think if nothing else, we should praise the game for just trying to be different than anything else that's really out there. And it's kind of wrapped in this sort of traditional shell, but but everything else around it is doing so much more interesting stuff. So and apparently it's doing really, really popular.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people have been playing it.
Yeah, like my Twitter feed is dated with not only readers and commenters and listeners, but also like I saw like Justin McElroy is playing it, and Philip Kohler is playing it, and Richard Mitchell is playing it, and like
to be fair,
everybody,
Steven,
seems to be digging it.
Those are the only guys you follow on Twitter, though. So that's
why
it seems like.
No.
What else? We'll ease off on all the secret world talk then, unless Mike, you had any more questions.
No, I think you answered every question that I'll ever have about it ever.
I think he's basically played the game in front of us right there.
Yeah, I would recommend that you guys try it out. I think you might like it.
I just can't Dally, handle MMOs like anymore.
Mike, I would recommend you at least when there's a trial, try the trial. I would say, Mike, Dally, you would not have enough time for this game. Your life is too busy.
That's very true. What else have you been playing that you can actually talk about? That won't last 4 hours.
I'm not gonna. Yeah. That was kind of my.
Yeah, that was the main one.
What was that? What was that hissing? Is there a gas leak in here?
That's you.
No, I wasn't. It was coming out of my headphones.
I heard it too, so it must have been Mike.
No, it was. I heard it too.
It was Mike's magic leaking. Magic Mike.
Somebody is tapped into our. Kept into our podcast.
The Illuminati have found me, guys. I gotta go.
Yeah, you've been playing enough.
the secret's out. I'm going to be captured soon. They're going to plant a chip in me. So if I come back next week talking about Ubisoft games, just fucking kill me. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway.
No, that was kind of my plan.
That was a sarcastic laugh, by the way. It was like,
No, that was like your nervous laughter, like, because you're afraid that they're going to find you next, Domovsky.
Yeah, the black helicopters. Yep.
There actually are black helicopters in the game.
Oh, jeez.
That was kind of my plan, though, was to just talk shit about Secret World, because everything else I've been playing is super old. I mean, we talked about
Mortal Kombat.
I played some more Gravity Rush. I'm almost, I didn't even know this, but apparently I have like 10 minutes left of Gravity Rush and didn't even know it. I played a fucking 10 metric buttloads of Persona 3 Portable, which I won't talk about because that game's like 4 years old. Crusader Kings 2 is way crazier than even I thought it was going to be. Botanicula, super charming. Lone Survivor is maybe the scariest game I've ever played, and it's a 16-bit game. Played some more Borderlands with Mike. I don't like VVV. I found out my 2001 in 2000. If I had played Max Payne in 2001, I would have gone apeshit over it. And me and Mike played, and Ben played some Terraria, and that's still. I think that's maybe better than
original Max Payne.
The original Max Payne. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I bought that on the Steam set.
My gourd.
Dude, Steven, do yourself a favor and find a copy of the Kung Fu mod 3.0 for Max Payne. Install that, and then tell me what you think about it.
I think that I am done finding stuff for Max Payne, because apparently Max Payne's audio does not work on the PC if you're running in Vista or Windows 7, which I have a Windows 7. So I had to like hunt down on the internet for like a fan patch to fix this stuff.
That's weird. It worked fine for me in Windows 8.
Well, the Windows 8 is probably better, I guess. at least in terms of Max Payne playability, Windows 8 confirmed better than Windows 7. But I had to run like a .bat file and shit. Like, fuck. It was, yeah. But I'm playing it now and fucking love it. I don't know if I both think that my 2001 self would have loved that game, I'm also not sure if my 2001 self could have handled that game, because Address Unknown would have fucking terrified me when I was 11 years old. Captain Baseball Bat Boy would have also kind of unnerved me a little bit. That's a real good game. I like it. Sam Lake's face is adorable. But yeah. Max Payne came out in 2001, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
All right.
Mike, what about you? What have you been playing, buddy?
Well, I am looking forward to Phantasy Star Online 2 more than I am to the birth of my first child.
This is your first child.
Please record that and play it back for my son when he's born. Inevitably.
Well, play it back for him.
To your daughters?
While he's driving
it's going to be a son. It's going to be a son, or it's going to be adopted.
Your first child be a masculine child.
No, because then I'm going to get some fucking powerlifting daughter. You can bench 450.
That's some like fucking like, careful what you wish for. I am the genie of Mike Bachman's PSO2, or no, sorry, PSO1 VMU. You've rubbed it. You've rubbed your your VMU, and now you have three wishes. What do you wish for, Mike Bachman?
Are you reading from my autobiography?
I'm reading from your dream journal.
My dream journal. But yeah, no. That Phantasy Star Online 2, that's not coming out in the U.S. until 2013, and I said that will not do. And Mr. Steven Strom tipped me off that it was actually out in Japan, and I didn't realize that. So I immediately, Steven was like, BRB, and I was like, LOL, and I hung up on the call and started downloading it.
Yeah, you did do that. I forgot about that.
And so I got that downloaded, and I went through, I'm actually in the process of writing a guide for how to install this game and set up your Sega ID and everything, because it is a little bit tricky. I spent the first like 2 days, because it's all in Japanese, spent the first 2 days just just clicking on things and hoping that it did the thing that I wanted it to do. And I played a lot of Phantasy Star Online, episode 1 and 2, which is misleading because episode 2 is not the same as Phantasy Star Online 2. But
Phantasy Star Online 3 card.
Yeah, episode 3 card revolution. But yeah, no, I played a lot of Phantasy Star Online episode 1 and 2, so I kind of knew most of...
Like, did you just, like, fucking brush off 3? It's just like, oh yeah, 3.
So I did play 3, but it's just not worth talking about, and it actually doesn't make any sense for the point that I'm trying to make. Okay. But yeah, I played a lot of episode 1 and 2, and so, I mean, I kind of knew my way around a lot of Phantasy Star Online 2. You know, like, and they basically, there's been a lot of Phantasy Star games since Phantasy Star Online, but they've tried to do like some really different things, and none of them have done really well, kind of because of it, because people like Phantasy Star Online, you know, they don't want to craft weapons and do weird things like in Phantasy Star Universe, and, you know, the Phantasy Star portable games were all right, but they weren't quite Phantasy Star Online. So this one,
Phantasy Star Universe, where you fall in that?
That's the one that I was talking about with the crafting and everything. Like, I have Phantasy Star Universe, and I played it as a good substitute. You know, in lieu of an actual Phantasy Star Online game, I guess, you know, play Phantasy Star Universe.
It was your like big brother, big sister kind of like, oh, my dad's dead, but I guess I can play catch with this like 18-year-old from down the street.
Exactly.
Hey, Phantasy Star Online or Universe.
Exactly. So they've really tried to get back to like Phantasy Star Online's roots. I mean, it's very much, I actually got into Phantasy Star Online because I saw it as kind of like the Japanese Diablo. It's very much a loot grinding game, you know, killing enemies and seeing what drops and then, having all those items be really awesome. And they've gotten back to that with this one. It's free to play, which was surprising. I didn't find that out until just recently. So I mean, you can download it and play it, and there's there's things that,
for no reason whatsoever. You've just been sending money to Sega.
Well, that's the thing. Is what I was going to say is I have no idea to the extent that it's free to play and where the microtransactions comes in, because it's all in Japanese. So, well, I've seen options to like pay for things, but I have no idea what they are, like what I would be paying for.
If I might step in a little bit, I'm pretty sure that there are. So you're on your ships, which are basically your servers. This is what I've been told. I have not played Phantasy Star Online 2, but there are different levels of these ships, and on one level is the level that you pay for all of the stuff with real money, and then one level is all the stuff that you pay for with fake money.
Oh, right? It's like in game, like Maseda and stuff.
Is that what it's called, Maseda?
Yeah, that's their currency.
Okay. I thought you were just buying and selling the lives of mags. Just like, the entire game's currency is based on slavery, the slavery of mags. I'm just quick, like, aside there for you, sorry.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, so I mean, the first like couple days, like I said, it was just basically playing through the first like 5 quests. Which, you know, is just basically, you know, go here and kill this, or like, you know, go and fetch that or something.
Oh God, I'm so over MMOs already. Oh, I can't stand it.
Well, see, here's why Phantasy Star, like, I don't lump Phantasy Star Online into that same group, because it is an action RPG. Like, it's not like an MMO disguised as an action RPG. They don't do little tricks with the combat system to make it feel more action oriented than it actually is. It is an action RPG. You know, you've got combos, you've got, you know, neat little things that you can do. I've been playing with Taylor Bliss, and his character's got, these God of War, like, whip blades.
I've laid a single, by the way. Taylor Bliss has laid a single. Just wonderful.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. That walk on roll in 90 and naughty. Yeah, so he's got these like whip things where he can like grab onto an enemy and like spin it around and then throw it at another enemy to do damage. And you know, I'm playing as a force, so I'm mostly just doing like, I'm mostly just like nuke elemental skills basically. But I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, if you played Phantasy Star Online, you're going to get into this and just like love it. I can't speak to anything except for the combat to say that it's, you know, it's essentially Phantasy Star Online, because I don't understand any of the rest of it because it's all in Japanese.
It's in katakana specifically, I think. So
yeah.
If you wanted to translate this by hand, it would not be as difficult as if it was kanji or something like that.
So. Well, and see, here's the thing: is I've been trying to learn Japanese a little bit. I've been doing Rosetta Stone and actually this Pimsleur like audio series as well. And so I can basically like when I get into a party with other Japanese players, I know enough to type watashi wa nihongo ga skoshi wakarimasu. Which is basically, I know a little Japanese, and that's true because that sentence is the only thing that I know. But I just, as soon as I enter a party, that's the first thing and the last thing that I type to them.
Are you not playing on the English servers?
Oh, there's not necessarily English servers. There's places where there's a large English community, and that you really kind of got to hunt for. I found a couple of sites that have said, okay, now on ship 7 on block, 23, there's a large English community and you log on and it's nothing but Japanese players.
I know part of it was that there was a very specific place that they were all congregating, but then I think Giant Bomb got around and started telling everybody, "Hey, you can play Phantasy Star Online 2 right now." And so that filled up super fast, and then so all of the blocks of pretty much just English speaking players are just filling up. So they do exist, these blocks that are pretty much just English players, but they're all full and you can't make any more characters on them
anymore. Right. And so you got to kind of hunt. And I was lucky actually. I created a character on ship 6 and went into block 6 just at random. That was just what I happened to choose. And there was a pretty large group of English players that just happened to be there at that time. So I got into a guild right away. And there's been, at any time when I log on, there's a few English speaking players that that have been able to kind of talk me through some things. But actually, there's a really good guide. And this is essential if you want to play Phantasy Star Online to the Japanese version. Bumped.org, I think it is. Let me double check that before I
you send people off on a wild goose chase.
Yeah, no, bumped.org. When you go there, the first thing there's a technology commentary. It gives you two options: technology commentary and Phantasy Star Universe blog. they specialize in two things.
Well, we don't do a lot, but we do them both well. We know where our strengths are.
If you go into the Phantasy Star Universe blog, and then on the right side, there's a PSO2 guide list. There is pretty much everything in this game is completely explained. As from the only, oddly enough, installing the game is missing from here, and that's kind of why I'm writing the installation guide. But I mean, there's creating a character. There's all the quests are laid out. So when you accept a quest and it gives you and it gives you the quest objectives, but they're all in katakana, you can reference here and it'll tell you exactly what your objectives are for that quest and where to go to do it. So I mean, basically I've just been sitting, I sit here with this guide open in one computer and then Phantasy Star Online 2 on the other. And it's gotten me by pretty well.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's playable. I mean, if you played PSO1 episode 1 and 2, then you'll be able to figure out most things in PSO2 pretty intuitively.
Now, neither of you guys mind, I'm actually going to segue this pretty just at least for a second here, just to talk quickly about my thing, Dally, if you don't mind. If I talk about about my Steve Online thing.
That is the part of the show that we are at now. Thank you. Time for Steven's weekly shitty, crappy Eve news of the week. Weekly.
No, Deli, no. That's not what I'm talking about at all.
There is news that I did cancel my Eve Online subscription.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just I bought so many games at the Steam sale. I'll come back to it. I really will. Okay. As long as you remind me. But... Yeah. For the time being, I've got enough else to play.
Yeah, no. Good point.
Yeah.
No, Deli, I was talking specifically about the Steve Online Live, about my show that I was trying to do that was a fucking debacle tonight that I tried to I'm going to take full responsibility for that. That was a debacle tonight. I tried to do the first episode, the premiere of Steve Online, but I was just going to point out that the second episode, so I'm going to probably redo the first episode, The Secret World. I've kind of come to that conclusion because I feel like it deserves better than what I gave it. So I'm going to give it one more shot, and if that doesn't work out, then I'm moving on. But the second episode is going to be about PSO2 with Mike.
Ooh. Yes.
So I was just going to point out that I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see, for, you know, because Mike has played Phantasy Star Online 1 before, and I think for the majority of people playing PSO2 right now, and at least in the English-speaking countries, have played PSO1 before. I have not. I mean, I think I played it on GameCube once at a friend's house years and years and years ago. I could not tell you anything more about it except that I know that one of the races is robots. So,
yeah, and they're pretty badass looking too.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. They're like, I don't know, they're like slim Gundams or something like that. It's small slim Gundams, and I kind of like that look. But anyway, point being, so I've never really played PSO2. Or PSO1, that is, or PSO2, I guess. So we'll talk about that on that show, and I'm really interested to see how well I am able to navigate around that world, having never played it before, or never to an extent that would make any difference.
Yeah, we'll be able to get you up to speed pretty quickly.
So, and then beyond that, I just, you know, like, so if anybody didn't know, anybody who listens to the show doesn't know, Steve Online is like going to be my new sort of, or not just mine, it's going to be, I like to think it's going to be SideQuesting's new sort of online video game commentary show, live show that we're going to have rotating guests on. And the first episode is going to be about The Secret World. Second episode will be PSO2. At some point, I'll probably do EU Online because that's the one that everybody keeps asking about constantly. So, but yeah, I just keep having enough people.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. No, I just it kind of comes out of like I play a lot of MMOs, and people keep asking me about MMOs on Twitter and stuff like that, and asking me about The Secret World and EVE Online and DCUO, you know, all these games I've played it in the past, and they keep asking me to write stuff about it. So rather than just write stuff about it, I figured I'd just show people what I'm talking about when I'm talking about all these crazy MMOs that I play. So any listeners out there want to watch that, keep an eye out so you can, you know, so follow it on sidequesting.com. Before I do the next one, there'll definitely be a post talking about when the first episode will be, when the real premiere was. This first premiere was the secret premiere, available only to a select few, which is to say that nobody watched it.
Well, and it records the videos too, so we can post them afterwards, right?
Yes. That is the other thing, is that all of the live episodes, they will be live, but probably I'm thinking like 24 hours afterwards, I'm going to put them on the site for everybody to watch. So if they don't want to watch it live, they can watch it, you know, archived that way. It won't just be MMOs, but that'll be kind of be the primary focus of the show. It will definitely be MMOs. Like, obviously, PSO2 is not an MMO. Like, not really, anyway. So, like, I don't want to shoehorn it in us into the MMO space. So, there might be a Tribes episode at some point. Stuff like that. So
Cool. Well, Mike, anything else you've been playing, buddy? I've been playing something.
Use your words, Dolly. What do you want me to talk about?
Your dick. I mean, diet.
The flute.
Playing with my dick. No,
Playing with your dead dad. Dyad.
I've been playing with my dad.
my dad.
My dad. Dyad. It's pretty good, right? Like, it's the first thing that it kind of made me think of when I first, like, watched the videos and even when I first installed it and started playing it was Frequency. On the PS2. Because it's got that kind of feel where you're traveling down a tube and there's different enemies, which, you know, just like kind of like the notes in Frequency, like positioned around the tube, and then you have to interact with them. And the way you do that is by hooking these enemies, basically grabbing onto them and using them to pull yourself down the tube. I should mention that where it's not like Frequency is that it isn't really a music game, even if it appears to be it. At first, there's music plays a key role, and the music is definitely influenced by your actions in the game. But it's not, you're, it's not like, you know, regurgitated notes that you have to copy verbatim.
Would you call this game Freak Rezzy?
No.
Would you not? Would you
don't
would
ever
not,
say that? Actually. Don't ever say that again, Steven. Never.
I would not.
I'm sorry.
I would call you unemployed. Basically, like I said, you know, you're traveling down this tube and you hook onto enemies. And the way that you propel yourself a little bit faster is you hook two like enemies in a row. So if you save like the first couple of levels, they just have like yellow and blue enemies. So you hook, you know, if you hook one yellow enemy, then you'll pass up the blue enemy that's coming at you in favor of hooking the yellow enemy behind him, because that'll give you a speed boost.
What happens if you hook two unlike colored enemies in a row?
You just move at normal speed.
Okay.
You don't get that bonus.
Okay. But what happens if you don't hook an enemy? Do you just stop dead in your tracks?
You go really, really slow.
Okay.
Like really slow. But the pairs is kind of there to prevent you from like wanting to button mash and just kind of grab onto every single enemy you see and just kind of scoot yourself along as quickly as possible. You have to actually be a little bit more methodical in terms of which enemies you're going to hook and in what order.
And you're like rotating around like the inside of a tunnel. Yeah, you're not just pressing A, then not pressing A, then pressing A, or you know, whatever, or not A, X, I guess, in the case of PS3.
You have to line yourself up with the the enemies that you're coming towards. And so that's pretty much the entire game. Like for the first few levels. After a little while, they give you they're like, okay, well now you need to graze enemies, and that just basically means, you know, like hooking an enemy and then passing close by it within like this small little circle that forms around the enemy. And when you do that, it fills up your meter at the bottom. And when the meter's full, you can do a lance, which is like basically where you just like shoot forward pretty quickly and you get to like just travel right through enemies. And like the more enemies you travel through, the faster you go.
What happens if you hit an enemy and you're not lancing?
Then you go back a little bit.
Not like
a checkpoint system where the game actually almost rewinds for a little bit, but the timer doesn't stop, so you lose quite a bit of time if you do that.
Oh, okay. So I think I've seen that actually. It like literally goes like, right, it kind of rewinds.
Winding, yeah. That's kind of it. They toss in like different enemies that kind of like change the way that these mechanics work. Like they'll have an enemy that you can't hit while lancing, or it actually drops you out of the lance. There's also lance extender enemies where like if you hit those, it keeps your lance going and also refills your bar a little bit. So that, you know, if you hit enough in a row, you can just do another lance immediately after the first one. But it gets kind of difficult. Later on when they start throwing, you know, because you want to lance pairs, and actually I think I mentioned this in my review, dyad is actually a word for two, like a set of two matching notes or pitches in music. So that's, you know, that's where that comes from. But you know, you want to get pairs, but at the same time if there's like five or six different types of enemies, it can be really hard to figure out exactly like which ones you're going to hook next. And you want to make sure that, you know, because you get that speed boost, you don't want to line yourself up to where you're going to hook one enemy, get the speed boost, and then inadvertently run into another enemy. So you got to be really, really methodical about how you do that. One of the problems that I had was that had to do actually with the visuals, which are excellent. They look great. They're really like kind of epileptic and flashy. But one of the problems I had was that sometimes the game uses a lot of motion blur. And so sometimes, like, especially when you lance through stuff, or when you do the speed boost, because there's so many colors going on in the background, and because of the motion blur, it can be kind of hard to tell what color an enemy is.
Like somebody just rubbed Vaseline all over your TV.
Basically, yeah. And also, when you get, there's so much kind of like the colors I say bloom, but that might not be the right word. The colors from the enemies and from your character actually kind of bleed a little bit. So when you get close to an enemy, it can be hard to tell exactly how close because the colors kind of all blend together.
That was me, by the way. I was the one who rubbed the Vaseline on your TV.
Oh, okay. So really, the game is perfect.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with the game. I just like to get dirty. I like to get dyad dirty.
That's terrifying.
Get dirty with my dyad.
Oh my god.
Sign me up. We finally broke Dally.
No, sign me up, buddy.
But
there's no breaking Dally.
There's Breaking Bad, but not Breaking Dally.
Coming this
fall.
Yeah,
what was that?
If you know what
I
mean.
Sounds like something I would say.
But the because they bleed together, that's kind of a problem when you're talking about a game where one of its core mechanics is getting as close to an enemy as possible without hitting it. But it's not, I don't know. I talk about it like it's a big deal, but that's probably because it's the only problem I had with the game. And there's not really much else negative to say about it.
You're just checking off your boxes. You're doing your dues. It's an issue with the game, but
Doing your dues.
Yeah, but it's not
you're paying your dues, kid.
It's definitely something that I would say, should really be played because it's a unique experience. It combines, kind of like the music genre and almost like, I don't want to say like the shooter genre, but kind of, in that you have to line up your shots.
Resi, I'm telling you.
It's not Resi. It might seem like it when you just look at a video of it, but it's got about as much in common with Rez as it does with Mario Kart.
Fine, it's Child of Frequenciden.
God, I hate you. You still made that joke if Jeremy McGrath was on here.
Yes, I would have. I think I would be making more jokes.
Jeremy McGrath.
I see Tony Hawk.
Dyad.
That's the joke is I keep naming off other McGraths, Deli.
Oh, okay.
That his name is Sean McGrath and that he is the greatest.
Ever.
If he was on this show, I would be making way, way more Wild Wild West jokes. Like just nonstop Bloodbath McGrath. Fucking Loveless Dally. Oh man. Listeners, please send in your fan mail of the cast of or the hosts of the side quest as Wild Wild West characters.
And all of us better be Will Smith.
And then all the listeners are going to be like, who are the hosts of the side quest?
No, the listeners are going to be like, what the fuck is Wild Wild West?
Cut. Can we have Will Smith do a companion rap song to every episode of the show?
Oh, man. Yes. Yes, please.
But yeah. That's Dyad. That's all I got to say about that.
Cool. I actually got offered to review that game before you, and I kind of passed it up because I didn't want to take everybody. I didn't want to take everybody's cheddar.
Well,
but I'm kind of regretting that now. I kind of wish I had taken it because it sounds super interesting. I want to play it.
I'm gonna take videos of myself playing it, like just covered in oil. I'm gonna send it to you.
Yeah, it doesn't come out till tomorrow, right? So like by the time the listeners hear this, though, it'll probably be up. But
yeah.
So I can't play it till tomorrow, but I can play it tomorrow. So yeah, big deal. Do we know how much it's gonna cost?
20% off for PS Plus members. That's all I know.
Really, right out of the gates?
20% off of a billion.
20% off of $6,000.
Actually, 20% off of a billion is a pretty hefty discount.
It's a pretty hefty discount, but the problem is that it's still like you're still paying 80% of a billion.
Right.
That's the goof, Mike Bachman.
But that's still 200 million,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're still paying 800 million. In this economy, Mike Bachman, I can't afford a $800 million video games like I used to.
Steven, you still afford all that money.
I do spend a lot of money on games.
You do.
I probably spend more money on games than Dally does to feed his child.
Can we talk about that Deadpool trailer?
Let's move on to news and talk about that Deadpool trailer. So, quick little news segment here. As you guys may have known, you probably don't, and you don't care, but San Diego Comic-Con was this past weekend. And, you know, Comic-Con's the convention, the expo that I've always wanted to go to. Actually, take it back. E3 is the convention I always wanted to go to. Comic-Con is the one I've always wanted to go to just to geek out and just, like, walk around like a fucking nerd. That's where
Comic-Con's the one where you would let yourself like break the cardinal the most holy of holy rules.
No.
And you would allow yourself to carry around a swag bag.
Well, no, that wouldn't be a rule because I'd be there strictly as a fan and not working. So
it doesn't make it any less disgusting.
No, I'm sorry. I think for when you're there as a fan, just having a good old time, it doesn't collect all the shit you want. When you're there as a writer or someone working, do not grab a bag.
I think, Dally, you're missing the point here, which is that I do not think that carrying around swag is disgusting because of money hats or something like that. I think it's disgusting because you are waiting in line for 8 hours for a plastic Thor hammer.
Oh, no, I would never do that. I would never do that. I got a Thor hammer in my pants, bitch.
Dally, what is your rule about trunkfuls of swag that can be used for bartering?
Well, I do have an electrified backpack that I will gladly trade for a trunk, anything out of a trunk. I gave 3.5 years of my life to this company, and this is how they won't let me into their party. What I did there? I was mailroom, but still, I should be let in their damn party.
I still got this guy's business card. Alfonso.
I feel so, it took me like 5 minutes to figure out what you guys were talking about. I need to go to E3 next year. just so I can understand the
Alfonso
joke.
Is one of those memes that anybody who went to E3 this year will know. But only if you went to E3 will you know the Alfonso meme, because you had to be there.
Or, listen to this podcast when we talked about it.
And Giant Bomb. Giant Bomb also mentioned Alfonso.
Is Alfonso there?
Is Alfonso there? Anyways, back to Comic-Con. So there was a bunch of news that came out of there, one being the announcement of a Deadpool game. Marvel and Activision actually did a good red herring by throwing out hints that it was going to be, I think it was called Hitmonkey, which is one of the other Marvel series out there, but ended up being Deadpool, which I think is an awesome character to have in a video game. I'm just where it's gonna end up being like a Wolverine style game. Like, do you guys remember that Wolverine game that came out a couple years ago based off the movie, which wasn't bad.
No, absolutely not.
I'm just worried that this is essentially just a reskin of Wolverine with Deadpool.
Yeah. It's not going to be Deadly because Deadpool uses guns, which means it's going to be a reskin of Devil May Cry.
Deadpool May Cry. I'm not even serious. You say Deadpool May Cry?
Deadpool May Cry. I can guarantee you almost two things. I can almost guarantee you two things. There will be some kind of joke about Devil May Cry within the game. And, I guess this isn't really so much a guarantee so much as it is just a point, like a statement of fact, which is that Deadpool is basically Dante. Like, the two characters are basically the same person, so it's not a huge departure if it does play like Devil May Cry or something like that. But I mean, he's using guns in the trailer and whatnot too, so it's not that
right.
So it won't play like the Wolverine game. I can guarantee you.
What are you guys? Are you guys excited at all about this game?
I kind of am. Like, I'm always a big fan of. Kind of like the wisecracking superhero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know that I realize that Deadpool is kind of like an anti-hero, but
he's not even an anti-hero. He was a villain and now he is he's a hero. But like he's a bad guy who wants to be a good guy, and the good guys allow him to be a good guy begrudgingly because he is a fucking idiot, and if they didn't keep him on their side, he would fuck up and do even worse shit that he was already doing.
Right.
I think that is literally his character arc, actually.
But, like, he's my kind of character. It's kind of, like, the reason that I got into superheroes at all was Spider-Man, just because, like, Spider-Man's, like, wisecracking and, like, making fun of the villains and things like that. And that's kind of, like, that's the persona that I get from Deadpool, except to, like, another degree. So I'm really, like, they really got to get a good writer on this game. it's got to be, you know, like just top notch in order to do well.
I'm trying to think of like who a good, funny writer for hire is that could work on this game, but like all the good like funny writers lay off doing all their own stuff, right? Like you don't see a lot of funny video game writers that like are like working mercenary or anything like that.
You know what? I would really like to have seen Volition be handed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Holy shit! Yeah, okay.
You are right.
Like oh it would have been just over the top and really like well written. Yeah.
Oh, holy shit. Oh, okay. Yeah, I suppose so. Activision has the rights to the Marvel properties, I guess. So that's probably why that wouldn't happen. But
right.
Oh man, like that would have. Oh yes, I can't believe I didn't think of that. Yeah. No. Deadpool discussion done. It wouldn't get any better than that. So why were we even going to talk about it?
So here's another game that was announced right around Comic-Con time. The Walking Dead as an FPS.
Exactly. Poop out of a butt.
So tell me why? Because there has not been any in-game footage released.
Because we don't need another zombie FPS.
Yeah, it is an FPS. It's based on Merle and his brother from the TV show, not the comics.
Is it Daryl? Daryl and Merle.
Daryl and Merle. I guess yeah. It is being made by Terminal Reality, the such luminaries as behind the Ghostbusters video game, which I kind of enjoyed Ghostbusters. It was not a terrible game, but it is a first person shooter being made by a company that is not traditionally known for first person shooters through Activision. So what this means is that it's going to come out, it's going to be terrible, it's not going to sell well, and then Terminal Reality is going to be shut down a week later.
See, here's the thing, though, is that it doesn't matter who has the game, like who's making it, because there are two parts to The Walking Dead. There's the zombie shooting, and there's the narrative, and we don't need another zombie shooting game, and the narrative has already been done better than any company is ever going to do it.
You know, The Walking Dead series isn't even about zombie shooting. I would say that it's all about the narrative and survival.
And what was the last first person shooter any of us played with like a great narrative? I think like the last one I can think of was like BioShock 2. Like the BioShock. So those are the game.
Unreal Tournament 3.
Oh yeah, Unreal Tournament 3 Black Edition really took it over.
Just really, it was kind of meh for the standard, and then they came out with Black Edition and just took it over the top.
Well, when all those fans like whined about the way the franchise, the third game ended, you know, the Unreal Tournament 3, and that they had to add that DLC that changed the ending, that was when it really took off for me. I mean, I guess there's games like. I think Halo's got a pretty okay kind of overarching narrative. I don't think from game to game it's really that interesting, but this is not going to have an amazing story. Like,
no, you know, I'm hesitant to knock this because the we haven't seen anything about the game. We don't know. We don't know if it's going to be mostly survival and hardly any shooting. It could just be in FPS view like Portal is, but Now I wouldn't mind seeing a pure zombie if it was an FPS game, fine, but just zombie survival, maybe
set like DayZ.
Like DayZ set in the totally DayZ set in a different part of the US during this zombie apocalypse.
Activision is not going to be the company that does that is the problem. I think that's one of the biggest issues is that because this is being brought out by Activision, it's not going to be that. It's going to be a zombie shooter. And I think that the biggest issue with this game is because of the way it's going to be a bog standard zombie shooter. I think that so cheapens what The Walking Dead is. In The Walking Dead, even in the show, you know, probably more so in the comics, but also in the show, the zombies are a constant threat. They are something feared and dealt with on a like mano a mano basis to be avoided at all costs if possible. But in this, it's a first person shooter, so it's going to be mowing down hordes of enemies. Even if it's not mowing down hordes of enemies, if it is just shooting guys, you know, at a normal kind of pace, it's going to be still fucking. It's just going to cheapen like that universe, like that what that universe is about, which is the, you know, the constant struggle.
It's really like guilty by association is really what we're saying right now.
Yeah,
we don't know anything about the game, but we know that the parties involved don't necessarily focus too much on great narratives.
It's the fact that this game doesn't need to be made,
right?
Yep. Is yeah, the thing. That's, and it's like, you know, there's not much you can do to the game. There's not much you can do in this game that isn't already being done really well in other games. And so that, you know, that says to me that I'm just going to be disappointed by every aspect, you know, and, right out of the gate.
And guess what? Like, Terminal Reality is going to get shut down as soon as this game is out. Like, what was it? It was Bizarre Creation. This generation alone, Activision, they did it to Bizarre Creations. They did it to Radical, the guys who made Prototype, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they just and now it's, and there's another one too that somebody brought up on Twitter earlier, but like they're just going to grind through this company and then wait. Like they took their gamble. They tried to make their thing, their hit, their Ghostbusters game, and they didn't really pan out. So now they're going to put them on, you know, franchise first person shooter thing, and then and when that doesn't work out, they're going to use that as their excuse to liquidate another company, and it's shitty. And I know I'm just kind of pulling this out of my ass. I don't know for sure that any of this is actually going to happen. But if it does happen, like, would anybody be surprised?
No.
Absolutely no. Not.
Well, in other zombie-related news, also Walking Dead-related news, the trailer for Season 3 was shown over at during Comic-Con. Did you guys get a chance to see that trailer by any chance?
I don't even watch the show.
I have yet to see any of season two.
So yeah, same. The big issue with season two, do either of you read the comics?
Love the comics. I just don't like to show them.
So season one kind of walked along the path of the comics, I guess you could say. Season two definitely strayed midway through.
No. Season one strayed midway through the show and then like just went off there. No, CDC and the okay, so don't you talk to me about no Australian Derek Mosky.
Comics elitist Steven comes out.
don't push your comics on
me. Don't push your comics on me, Steven. I'm old enough to be your father.
I don't think you are. So, grandfather. Great grandfather. Yeah, you're too old to be my father is the problem, Dally.
And so I the season three kind of goes back to the comics. So they introduce the governor. They really work on spoilers. Even though the trailer labels all this Michonne's character. Michonne's character.
Didn't she show up at Michonne? I think it's just Michonne.
At the very end. Very end of season two. Now in season three, you definitely see her with Andrea, which never happened in the comics. But they kind of broke things up a little bit differently on the TV series, which I'm totally fine with.
What do you mean with Andrea?
Well, Michonne and Andrea are kind of paired up. Michonne rescues Andrea at the end of season two. So the first part of season three is them kind of traveling together, which didn't happen in books, right?
So I was about to say, like, as far as I knew, they were all still in a group. So with Andrea, I'm like, what do you mean with Andrea? They're all in a group. Yeah. They're all with each other.
No, so some of them split up, went their different ways, but
So no prison in season two?
Well, not in season. There's no prison in season two, but all of season three deals with the prison and with the governor. So I'm really excited, and also what are some of the inmates that they meet in? Sorry, major spoilers, but this is all in the trailer. This is all in the trailer.
Yeah. I'm trying. I could not remember their names, but I could tell you their roles. But that would be crazy spoilers for anybody who hasn't read the comics.
Starts to circle back more towards the comics. I think this is where Kirkman kind of came in and said, you know, we're hearing the fans. The fans are starting to pull.
You've had your fun.
Don't push your comics on me, Steven Strom.
No. This is me being Kirkman. Yeah. Like, you've had your fun with your television. Now we're going back to art.
You're back to us, Hollywood. And so it definitely goes back to the comics a lot more. And I'm pretty excited about the direction they're taking. And it's just great to see the governor, one of my all-time favorite bad guys in all of comics.
You see, that's going to be an issue for me, though, for the TV series, because they're not going to be able to do, like, half the stuff that the governor... You're not allowed to show half the stuff the governor does in those comics on television.
I'm sure they'll approach it in a different way, though. Like they did with the Game of Thrones, they couldn't show everything, but they approach it differently. By the way, they also announced the new cast members for Game of Thrones Season 3, which we know is the whole first half of A Storm of Swords. So be ready to, without saying anything, just be ready for this. It's going to be pretty. And they're splitting this season in two. And we all know what takes place at the midway point of Storm of Swords. So this may be one of the greatest seasons in all of television coming up here.
Now, I don't think this is a spoiler for saying it the way I'm about to say it. Yeah. But if it is, we can bleep me out or whatever.
It's been 10 years. It's been 12 years.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say, like, that you're specifically talking about the Red Wedding.
Yes. So yeah, okay. Without saying anything, just be ready for this extremely pivotal, maybe the biggest event to take place in all of Game of Thrones or all of A Song of Ice and Fire series to this point. So
yeah, that's actually
anyway. So they announced the cast. They showed a lot of the characters. They finally got the Reeds, Jojen and Mira Reed, which they should have had in season two. They didn't. They now have them in season three. So that's a welcome addition. And the casting was absolutely perfect. Derek
Dondarrion?
Beric Dondarrion, or however.
Beric Dondarrion. Beric Dondarrion.
Yeah, Beric Dondarrion. His character, his casting is fantastic. The what's that band of brothers? The aren't band of brothers. The
Band of Brothers. There was a TV show called Band of Brothers.
Yeah, he's part of Band of Brothers. No, whatever his merry band is named in the books. They obviously make a
they're what are they? Yeah, they're like the King's Men or something like that.
But so they're included. Yeah, it's shaping up to be a really, really strong cast. Has anybody seen the UK Office, the UK version of The Office? Anybody want
yes,
to?
Yes, I've seen some of it. I have not watched
So Gareth in the UK Office, who's also who's kind of like the Dwight character in the UK version. Also, he was in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, or Caribbean, however you want to say it.
He's the guy with the wooden eye. For
yeah,
those who
he
don't know
plays Oral. Orel, I guess you'd call him Orel, in from the books in the TV series of Game of Thrones season three. So
somehow I do not remember that character at all from the book. What are you talking?
I think it's a rename. I want to say it's a renamed character. Again, don't quote me on any of this stuff, but I'm excited.
Hey, you know what? Go listen to Cast of Thrones. You know they'll set you straight.
So I'm excited that the casting is spot on. Everything is shaping up to be a really, really good season. There are also some other good notes for some of the great things that happened at Comic-Con. Iron Man 3, they talked about Ben Kingsley, who's joined the cast as the Mandarin. Really interesting.
That is a strange. I mean, like, okay, it is strange in the sense that I think that Ben Kingsley can. Like from a character, the kinds of characters mm-hmm. that he plays, that does not seem kind of out of the norm.
Sure.
But the Mandarin is Chinese, so that is a little strange.
They'll have a reason for it in this, but
no, I'll bet you 10-1 they don't. They'll just like movies never care about like what race anybody is.
Yeah. Who cares? They also announced the. They officially announced a Captain America sequel called Winter Soldier. Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Oh,
which
really?
Which we all know.
I did not hear that subtitle before.
That is the subtitle. We all know who the Winter Soldier is, so without revealing much, just go to Wikipedia. But Captain America: Winter Soldier, it coming in, I believe they said April of 2014, and then I want to say 2014. I'll have to check again. And then because Iron Man 3 comes out next year. And then the year after, there's Captain America and Thor. Thor is called the Dark World, and then I believe and then also Ant-Man comes out. They've just started working on that. That's probably come out around that same time or the
Edgar
year
Wright's,
after. Yeah.
So Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. I'm so excited.
So I would not be surprised if the year after that is when we get. It's looking like 2015. We'll probably get the next Avengers film. Which I'm happy with. I would not mind waiting 3 to 4 years for the next Avengers movie. They'll be able to build up all these characters again. And
I'm really interested to see how they handle these characters on an individual basis after the Avengers. Well, how you go back to like ignoring the other characters.
I don't think they'll be flat out ignoring them. But
well, are they going to be just like a half-assed passing reference?
Yeah, it might be.
Avengers is wartime. Like now it's my guess is that, like, at the beginning of this, it's like, oh, it's peacetime now. But then, like, they, you know, crazy shit happens to them while they're all, you know, recuperating from or dealing with their lives post, you know, Chitauri invasion.
Sure. Well, think right, but, like, the shit that happens in these movies is always big shit, big national news shit. You can't not tell me that they're not going to Avengers Assemble that shit. Like,
so think of it this way.
Well, they're going to have Avengers 2. Come on.
Yeah, think of it this way. Thor is off doing whatever he's doing in Asgard.
Thor, I could see because so he can. He's out. He'll be Asgard.
Yeah, he'll do the Asgard.
He's guarding asses. Yeah,
he's guarding asses. Captain America might be do off.
They sent him on some black ops shit or something.
They might be
right?
sending exactly. Might be sending him on black ops shit, and then you got
Iron Man's got a business to run.
Iron Man's
you
got
know?
A business. That's very true. I would, although I would not. I wouldn't judge out. Well, judge out. I wouldn't say that you may not see the Hulk. In this film, I could see the Hulk being kind of a bit player in a lot of these movies because they did say that the Hulk was probably not going to get his own movie again because the first two did.
Yet.
Yeah, the first two didn't really go as well as planned, and so.
But
I mean,
the thing is, though, the Hulk fucking stole the show in Avengers. Though everybody loved the Hulk,
yeah.
So he will definitely be in Avengers 2.
Well, it's about time he got a. Good movie.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. He'll be in Avengers 2, and he'll probably play like smaller roles in some of these other films. You know, don't
I will bet you Hulk get his own. Hulk will get his own movie after Avengers 2, probably.
Yeah, that'll probably happen to squeeze out the remainder of what they have. It's supposed to be a trilogy, right? The Avengers is supposed to be like a trilogy of films.
I hope so. See, I don't know how everybody else is feeling about it, but like I. Am not even close to being sick of this whole like Marvel
Me neither.
Series. They could keep doing this for as long as
yeah.
they want.
Yep.
You say trilogy. My first thought was like, why would you stop at three?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As long as these actors want to keep doing it,
I think these guys just start getting old.
That's
probably
that's
it.
Well, yeah, I mean that's part of it. But these guys are pretty. Most of these guys are pretty young though. Still.
That's the only thing where I can start seeing this to be a problem is if like. One of these actors gets a big ego and wants like way too much money, or if like some stupid shit happens. Like, I mean, they dodged a bullet with like Edward Norton. You know, Edward Norton was a dick, and so they got rid of him, and it worked out. But like, you know, you can only do that so many times. You know, if you get to the point where you've got an entirely new cast, well, then they're probably
well,
not
they already signed this cast to a certain
yeah,
amount of movies. Right.
They're like set. They're each like set for seven more movies or
yeah,
something like
yeah, something crazy
in,
like
the,
that.
In these franchises.
Oh.
And a lot of that'll be like you know cameo roles.
Yeah, Marvel was just fucking brilliant when they set up this franchise. I mean, oh, they did a great job.
The only tragedy was that they had to sell the rights to Spider-Man like in order to pay for all
well,
that shit.
Yeah, but guess what? Like. Amazing Spider-Man's not doing so hot, so Sony's not going to be making the Spider-Man movies forever. And once Sony stops making them, the rights revert back to Marvel Disney.
Right, but see, here's the thing though: is that they've already passed the point where they could possibly include Spider-Man in this universe that they've created.
That's true. No, New York has been fucked, destroyed.
Right, because here's the thing: is that there's two scenarios. There's either Avengers happens first, and then Spider-Man happens, in which case nobody's going to give two shits that there's another superhero flying around the city.
Yep, yep.
Or Spider-Man happened first, and then the Avengers happened. In which case, where the fuck was Spider-Man during the Avengers?
My whole thing is just like they have shown that they do like. I mean, I guess there are two different companies, but just in general, nobody seems to give a fuck how many times they fucking reboot Spider-Man. So
think they could still bring in like characters like Spider-Man and well, Fantastic Four looks like it's what they're almost going to lose that license. I think Fox was trying to get the
holy shit, yeah.
Fantastic Four and Daredevil could be switching back over here to Marvel Disney here pretty soon because there's nothing planned for those. For those licenses, and the
yeah.
only reason because
well,
Fox is working on the X-Men films, it's the only way they have those licenses by pumping out an X-Men movie every other year.
Right?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Well, they can do whatever the hell they want with the X-Men because I don't fucking like them.
You don't like
fuck
the
you
X-Men.
Too.
I hate the X-Men. I am not an X-Men fan at all.
Oh, Dally, I was about to say like I was going to bet you 10-1, but. Fox stayed interested in filming a reboot of Fantastic Four
yes.
based on the success of X-Men First Class and advanced enthusiasm for the event then forthcoming The Amazing Spider-Man franchise reboot. The studio would lose rights to the characters in 2015 if
yep.
no film is made. So
I think definitely that The way I could see it planning out is if, let's say at the end of Avengers 2, let's say Marvel gets the Spider-Man license back, which I don't think Sony's going to give it up anytime soon. They get the Spider-Man license back. At the end of Avengers 2, all the fucking Avengers are locked up. That shit. They're going to jail. Now there's no superheroes. Now they can launch
Civil War.
Exactly. So I'm thinking it could be Civil War. So now you get your Spider-Man movie. You get your Fantastic Four. You get your Daredevil. So you can introduce these characters. And then Avengers 3, motherfucking 2020, dropping bombs like all Get Out. All the superheroes. Just one big-ass battle. Fuck, that would be awesome.
When do I get my Thunderbolts movie?
Then you get your Thunderbolts movie.
I'm serious. I want a Thunderbolts movie. Like, I'm not joking.
Didn't they make
first,
one?
Coming first is Guardians of the Galaxy next year.
Yeah. So they're already, saying, hey, we got no problems bringing in tons of new superheroes into this universe. Like, they don't, Guardians of the Galaxy, one movie is going to introduce, seven dudes.
And the great thing about that is it's very Disney-ish, Guardians of the Galaxy, because they're from all over the place. So,
Yeah, they are.
Marvel is just, this Disney acquisition was very smart. Marvel has a ton of cash now to do whatever they want with movies, with games, with licensing, to do it right. There's a ton of Marvel crossover stuff happening already. Where you got not SpongeBob. One of the kids shows are doing a Marvel crossover movie next year. It's actually, if you're a fan of Marvel films, especially Avengers, that whole side of the universe, you're in good shape for a long time right now, I think.
I hope that they need to keep Joss Whedon involved heavily.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I can almost guarantee you they will not be getting rid of the man who made them the movie that made the most money of any movie.
I want to go see again in the theater before it gets yanked from there. Maybe I'll see it this week.
Is this still in theaters?
Yeah, it's still in theaters. It's only got two or three showings a day, but that's still two or three showings a day for a film that came out when it in May, beginning of May.
True.
Yeah. By the way, Daly, they are making a new Daredevil reboot to be directed by David Slade, who was behind Hard Candy, 30 Days of Night, and the third Twilight movie, which I guess is the least shitty of the Twilight movies, as it has been explained to me. And he also directed an episode of Breaking Bad.
Is that Fox? Does Fox own those rights?
Yes, they own the rights to Fantastic Four, Daredevil, Ghost Rider.
When are they making an Elektra reboot? Am I right?
Oh yeah.
I actually like the Daredevil movie.
Do you guys remember those early 2000s Marvel movies, which were just all over the place?
Ghost Rider, Daredevil, Fantastic Four, X-Men. Some were awful, some were amazing, some were kind of in between. I thought Daredevil was pretty in between, but whatever. Yeah, so anyway, we talked a whole lot about movies on this video game podcast.
and MMOs, and comics. But it's definitely good if you're – it's a good time to be a comics fan. What they said that – I think some study came out that comic sales are up 20% this year over previous years, which is just
– Well, part of that is the New 52 fucking spiked sales.
So they sold two extra episodes, issues, is what you're telling
me. Yeah, well,
Man, New 52 fucking – did gangbusters, but it only did gangbusters for 2 months, and now it's now they're still selling more than they were, but they're not selling that much more.
I think it's New 52 start of the year, and then you had Marvel come in and just
Marvel's
going to
do their reboot now.
Yeah, well, not really a reboot. It's just what Marvel now.
It's a reboot, but they're restarting all of the series from issue one, and it's just
again.
They're just not saying hey. All that stuff that you remember happened, that stuff still happened. It's just that we're not going to worry about it, So, which is basically what DC did anyway, except Marvel's being more honest about it.
And the other cool thing, I just picked up a couple comics, couple Marvel comics over the weekend. Marvel comics. X-Men number 30. X-Men number 31 is out, but the cover to X-Men 30 has got this beautiful Art Nouveau style. It's like a octopus, silhouette with the X-Men inside of it. It's actually kind of neat. But Marvel does these – they do the free digital copy that if you get the Marvel – you just kind of scan the code.
Really?
So you get – oh, shit. Oh, I just opened my copy and somebody had already scanned it. Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, you know what? You probably haven't. Some motherfucker came in there with an iPhone or some shit.
Yep.
Oh, son of a bitch.
That
wait, it's on the outside of the packaging?
No, it's on the inside, but the sticker's peeled.
Oh, okay. So there's like literally a sticker. Motherfucker. Yeah. That's some shady shit.
I'm gonna return this tomorrow and say, hey guys, somebody fucking scanned this. Oh, dude, yeah. That pisses me off. Anyways,
that's some bullshit.
And then I picked up A vs. X, Avengers AVX, round 6.
Then motherfucking Nova blasted through the goddamn ceiling, and he's just like, "Ah, shit, the Dark Phoenix is coming. Oh god, oh, are you okay, Nova? No, motherfucker, did you not just see me fly through that ceiling and into this wall?" That's the comic head. Keep that going. That's comic head's review of Avengers versus X-Men.
Basically. So the other cool thing about these X-Men, the AVX, is that it has AR involved. So on certain pages, you see the AR code, and you can open up the Marvel Comics app, which is just the iTunes, the iOS Marvel Comics app or the Android Marvel Comics app, and point it to the AR code, and lo and behold, you'll get shit popping out of your comic. Battle scenes and all kinds of stuff. So Marvel's definitely, they're really pushing this digital stuff any way they can.
The problem with that, though, is that they're also charging way too goddamn much for the digital versions of things.
But you get it free. You get it free now. If you buy the comic, you buy the hard copy, you get the digital version for free.
But if you don't want to fuck around with that, or if you can't find the digital version or the real version in the store, mm-hmm. which is actually kind of, I tried to go and get Wolverine and the X-Men, the new reboot of that, because that's supposedly that's fantastic, but I can't find like the first 8 issues of that series, and
what's the difference between Wolverine and the X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Astonishing X-Men,
man,
X-Men,
fuck if I
X-Force.
Know.
That's why I don't fucking read comics.
Yeah, that's why they're doing this reboot. They're gonna slim it down. They're gonna trim the fat on this. You're gonna have like X-Men, and that'll be your X-Men book. But anyway, yeah, that's the problem or at least one of the problems is that it's almost impossible to find like the first 8 issues of the goddamn book. So I figure, okay, well, I'll go over and ask the guy at the front counter if they are gonna get any more extra issues of this. And he's like, ah, no, man, sorry, they're just not. For some reason, it's probably Marvel's best book right now, Wolverine and the X-Men, and they're fucking not giving us any copies of it. And I'm like, okay, well then I'll get the trade paperback. And so I go to grab the trade paperback, and normally trade paperbacks contain the first 6 issues of the comic, then the second one will contain the next 6 or whatever. And what it is you usually you buy the trade paperback, and it costs like, you know, $2 cheaper than if you bought all of the issues. So you wait a couple of weeks, but you get a slight discount. This one is the exact same price for each of the 4, or not the exact same price. It's more expensive than getting the 4 issues individually, and it's only 4 issues instead of 6 issues. So I'm paying for, like, if I had bought like 6 issues individually, for 4 issues altogether after the thing has already been out. And then I'm like, well, fuck this. So like I go home and I pull out my iPad. Well, okay, so the way DC does it is, if when a comic has been out for 1 month, when the new comic, you know, issue comes out, the previous issue from last month is done. It's like, you know, or not done. It's a dollar cheaper. Mm-hmm. So if it was $3, it becomes $2. I go on to Marvel's fucking thing. They're all the same price as when they can. You're paying the same price for a hard copy of something as you would pay for the digital copy of something, no matter how old it is. It's just like fucking bullshit. All right, just fuck this shit. And whereas I think DC is handling it better economically, whereas Marvel is handling it better, just like better in every other way, but economically, but. Fucking if Marvel would get their shit together with their pricing structure and allow me to actually find their fucking comics in stores, that would be great. But I'm hoping with this Marvel Now thing, they'll finally do some of this stuff. They're pushing the boundaries on what to do with their comics, like you said, with the AR codes and stuff, and that's all super interesting. It's just I don't want to pay a goddamn premium for less stuff, you know.
Right.
Sorry, that's my rant, but anyway,
your age, comics were a dollar. I'm not even joking. Fuck that was awesome. Nope. And comics were $1, $1.00, and then they got to $1.25.
Comics used to be even cheaper than that.
Well, yeah, but when I started really getting into them, they were a dollar. And then I remember them going to $1.25, and that was it. That was the crash.
Actually, I don't know, this is kind of just out of nowhere, but this is just something I've been listening to recently, which I think if anybody who's found this previous conversation we have had interesting, go and look up Fat Man on Batman. It's like new. It's Kevin Smith's new Batman-centric podcast where he just interviewed like Mark Hamill about comics and shit from like 30 years ago. And you just reminded me, Deli, because Mark Hamill had this whole tirade about how comics used to be a dime and they were 60 pages long, and then they were like 25 cents and they were 40 pages long, and then they were a dollar and they were 20 pages long or whatever. And it just got me thinking about that. But it's a really cool, interesting podcast that, you know, Dal, you might want to listen to. You might find it interesting. It talks about the history of comics in general, but, you know, it's kind of wrapped around a Batman-centric figures, I guess.
Sweet. Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Maybe I'll check it out next, because this podcast is over.
No, okay.
Yeah, it is.
This has been over. No. Anyways, good show, guys. Lots of good stuff today. Good couple hours. Good solid couple hours of comic talk. Also some games.
Yeah.
Quick little announcement. We are going to be kind of mixing up the show for next episode a little bit. We're going to try something different, see if a new format will work. I think we're somewhere around somewhere around episode 100, I think. So who knows? We may have already passed it. We'll find out. So, you know, we're gonna see if we can mix it up a little bit, see what we can do to keep the show fresh every time you download, every time you listen. So I'm gonna sign off. I hope these gentlemen sign off, because I don't want to talk anymore. I've lost my voice.
Well, you know, we're gonna shout out everybody's Twitter and everything.
Oh yeah, I guess we could do that. I was getting to that point, but I was just kind of doing my final diatribe. My Twitter, this is Dally speaking, is @CoolRats. Steven Strom also joined me today.
I am @StevenStrom, StevenStrom on Twitter.
And also, the Mike Bachman joined us today.
I am @TheMikeBachman.
Don't leave the second N off of his name.
Don't you dare.
There are two names on there.
Two N's on there.
Well, I was going to say two names, but whatever.
There are two names.
Yeah.
Mike and Bachman.
Please, if you get a chance, click around through the Amazon links on our site. You don't have to buy anything that we link to, but just click through there. So the next time you do buy something, it will help us pay for the podcast hosting and for the website hosting, because the economy. Basically,
free healthcare doesn't apply to podcasts, turns out.
Next episode, again, coming in about a week or so, we hope. We'll also look at trying to get Sean McGrath on the show. Sean is a designer of the creator of Dyad. So he was supposed to be on the show today, couldn't make it. We'll have him on the next one. That is it. This is a side quest. Yeah.
Sorry.
McGruff. McGruff says, don't do drugs in the woods.
Take a bite out of crime.
Take a bite out of forest fires with drugs. We will see you guys next time. Peace.
Later.
Love you.
I had a whole shtick.
I was waiting the whole episode.
Steven.
Keep that going just as long as possible.
We get sued.
Disempowered, the scattering flock dances in a field.